listen to the Black Guy Who Tips podcast because Rod and Karen are hot.
Who's the black sheep? What's the black sheep? No, not who I am, but when I'm coming, so you sleep. Wasn't in my room, wasn't in my spear. Knew not who I was, but listen here. Drez, D-R-E-S, yes, I can suck a star. If it's all right with you, I rip this is one apart. Back, middle, to the front, don't front. Want a good time, gonna give you what you want. Can I hear a hey?
Hey.
You got a yo?
Yo.
You got a hey?
Hey.
It's for the hoes.
Hoes.
The styling is creative. Black sheep is for natives. Never been violated or even decepticated. I got brothers in the jungle, cousins on the quest, deaf retarded uncles in the forest for the rest. Was that what it says? Guess which way, what, when, how. Mr. Longdress, black sheep, slam now. No, you heard the others. Phony to the lovers. But then, of course, the choice is yours.
You can get with this.
Or you can get with that.
You can get with this.
Or you can get with that. You can get with this. Or you can get with that. I think you get with this because this is where it's at. Engine, number nine on the New York Transit line. Well, if my train goes off the tracks,
pick it up. Back on the scene, crispy and clean.
You can try, but then why? Because you can't intervene. Hey, welcome to the Blackout Test Podcast. Your host, Rod and Karen. On a Saturday, ready to do feedback, guys. You can find us on iTunes, Stitcher, Podomatic. Leave us 5-star reviews. Appreciate everybody takes time out to do that. The official weapon of the show is
the taser
and the unofficial sport.
What about?
And Bullet Ball Extreme. And today's podcast is all about listeners like you guys. It's all about people to take the time out to respond to us. There's a lot of ways to respond to us, a lot of ways to let us know how you feel. You can leave us 5-star reviews on iTunes and Stitcher, which, guys, we got so many.
Yay! I'm glad. So now y'all can judge the other people.
And I think last week we would have got them, but we did the show early. And also, it was on a, I don't know. It was like on a delay or something. Like the next morning I saw like, oh, people already left 5-star reviews. So, you know, it takes a couple of days on iTunes for the reviews to populate, but you guys left them on iTunes and Stitcher. So thank
you.
Come
on through.
You can also do stuff like, go to our website and vote in the polls, leave comments on each episode. You can leave, comments on the polls, like you can do that. You can leave us voicemails as long as they're 2 minutes or less. It will cut you off at 2 minutes. This is not just us saying it.
It's pre-programmed. We didn't set the time. It was like, you know what, 2 minutes, that's it.
704-557-0186 is the voicemail line. That's 704-557-0186. And then you can also email us theblackguywhotips@gmail.com. we read those on the air as well. And don't forget, this week, September 26th, Thursday, we are going to be at Thrive Talks Podcasting, which is at 8.2.0 Pizzeria and Bar. That's from 6 to 8 p.m. September 26th. I will actually put a link in the show notes to the event, if I can remember to do that. So you guys can, you know, if you're in the Charlotte area, you want to come out and check us out. We'll be out there talking about all the things, that makes podcasting work for us. All right. All right. So, of course, first things first. There are people who donated to the show, and we want to give them a shout out.
We do.
I dedicate this song to recession, depression, and unemployment. This song's for you.
Today's a new day.
And shout out to Renate M. Thank you very much. The M stands for money, okay? Because that's what we are getting over here. We appreciate you. Shout out to the new iPhone taking a long time to load. Okay. All right, then. I mean, new iPhone iOS, not new iPhone. Although I do want one, y'all. I was looking on AT&T, and I qualify for an upgrade already. Karen has to wait.
I was looking like,
Olivia.
I want my third eye, my third lens, too.
Keep your third lens open.
Come on.
Olivia from Chicago, Pete B, David from Brooklyn, Ricky A, Black Film Press Comics, we appreciate y'all, all of y'all. Laura F, thank you, Laura. Triangle Wine Co, thank you. Calfani G, Chris from Hawaii, Corey the Tickler, April G, Tabitha M, Brianna F, Alexis H, Dia H, Virginia G. Thank you very much, Virginia. Tanya S. Thank you, Tanya. our boy Wonga from down under. Shout out to my man. Mm-hmm. Dana W, appreciate you. And is there any more? Okay. Samuel HJ, thank you very much. And Jennifer H, no relation. That's everybody.
Tell me, where are my blue skies?
Where is that love, y'all?
Where is the love and the joy that you promised? And tell me it's alright.
The truth is,
I almost gave up my power that I can't explain.
Holy Ghost power, y'all.
Fell from heaven like a shower, and
I know we've been hurt, y'all, but still
I smile. Even though it hurts me, I smile.
Yeah,
I know God is working, so I smile. Even though I've been here for a while, I smile.
Hallelujah.
Smile. It's so hard to look up when you look down. I sure would hate to see you give up now. You look so much better when you smile. Smile for me.
All right, let's get into these 5-star reviews, guys.
Yay.
All right, the first one is awesome content from KDT Functional. 5 stars, of course, so I wouldn't be reading it. I've been listening for a long time, always a highlight of my workday. Love the variety of topics and the unique, heartfelt, and hilarious perspectives. Well, thank you very much.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a lot of people, they listen, but you know, it just takes a while to get some response. But you know, it doesn't matter if it took you a while.
Mm-mm. Whenever you wrote in on time.
All right, we appreciate it anyway, because real talk, like, there's a lot of podcasts not getting any feedback. And last week when we didn't get feedback, I was like, oh, maybe we not hitting no more.
Right. Oh.
So we be needing people like you, Katie.
Come on, let us know y'all out there.
I'm a tip of 5 stars by Best Listener Ever 99.
Come on, Best Listener Ever.
Good podcast that keeps getting better. And now that we have an official name for fans, the tippers, I know what to call myself. The daily episodes are still a balanced mix of thoughtful conversation and humor. My coworkers think I'm laughing at them. I don't care.
Come on.
Sometimes they have to ask if I'm crying. I'm not. The show is that good. The premium shows are all that and more. Lip Smacking Good is one of the best restaurant reviews ever.
Aww,
thank you.
Thank you, baby.
Who knew you could get a discussion on current events and good restaurant recommendations at the same time? I love the new feature about the home meal kits. I've been inspired to try Home Chef now.
Aww.
I love to hear people starting to cook. Okay. Mm-hmm. It's therapeutic. It's a skill. You're learning. And if you know, you just bring it to lunch, you can say, you know, it's healthy for you. It's a bunch of good reasons.
Impress your coworkers.
Mm-hmm. You gotta give it to your girl, let her give it to your man, give it to your girl, whatever, let them get some. It's great.
And brag about you.
Spoil Movie Reviews and The Nerd Off are my other premium favorites right now. I recommend the podcast to anyone who enjoys long conversations with friends that go on for hours. Thank you
baby.
Informational, entertaining, and thought-provoking by Cosmic Harvey. In relation to Steve, hi y'all, new listener from California here. I wanted to stop by and reiterate that you two hopefully already know the relatable, unique perspectives that you have on pop culture as well as not so pop culture is needed and valued. Giving your time, money, and energy in this way is super selfless, and best of all, you're funny. P.S. Karen, you are so adorable and your positivity is infectious.
Oh, thank you, baby.
Thanks again, keep shining. Shannon from NorCal. Hey, yay yay, shout out to California area. Okay, west side, we get out there every once in a while.
Mm-hmm.
Episode 1580, Lady Lennon says, just here to put my 5 in the collection plate. Y'all not gonna shame me this week.
Well, you know what? They say shame doesn't work. But it appears that it has worked quite well this week.
Yes, come on through. And you know what? Now you can turn around and judge everybody else.
Mm-hmm. Shout out to the people that say the shame don't work, but they activists. Nigga, you be shaming people all the time to get them to do shit. That's kind of the point.
Yep.
Unless you gonna get some guns, then you know, I mean, hey, then that's different. Bestest and very consistent podcast by Unrelaxed Missy, who says, I'm so here for this podcast couple. I found the Blackout Tips through Janica from Jay from T with Queen and Jay.
Yay, we love them.
Mm-hmm. I don't think the guys are allowed to say ow. I don't remember the rules on that, so I'm gonna stay away from it. I was super shocked to find they have been around for so long and put out content almost daily. I appreciate the host talking through their thoughts and opinions and even finding fault in them and correcting it. I find myself talking to friends about news articles, rating them from 0 to 100, or yelling Dracarys, or guess the race. Thank you, Rod and Karen. I recommend this podcast to my podcast listening friends. Oh, thank you, Unrelaxed Missy. And yeah, we love Tea with Queen and Jay. I listen to them all the time, and it's funny because you know, we over here, we having jokes, making fun, but we try to talk about some shit that's kind of serious too, and mish it in there. So I'm thankful that people appreciate that part of it too. That's not just you know, it's not just all yuck yucks or us taking serious topics and being like, you know, 100% of the time just being like, oh fuck that shit, and just moving on. Putting my 5 on it, 5 stars, by CBJ985, who says, love you, Karen and Rod. You two are awesome and are a great duo as podcasters and a married couple. Thank you so much for your insightful and nuanced conversations on a wide range of topics, from politics to pop culture to social media trending topics. At first, I didn't get the games. I started listening from the Vice spot about them Thrones. However, now I happily sing along the intro songs for each one. I'm feeling your new spinoff, the cover songs of intro for White People News. Question, can we request songs? Love you too, and keep up the great work. You know, it's not about necessarily requesting songs, but let me put out the parameters for it, because sometimes y'all send me links and that's cool, and I do try to incorporate the ones that work. But so for right now, White People News, I'm off of white people fucking up black people songs. Okay, I'm done. It's just, it got too much, guys. In Trump's America, I'm sorry, okay?
Yeah, it did get too much.
Y'all talk, I broke myself. I can't remember which one it was. I was just like, God damn it, this is pointless.
Right.
Just make sure that it's a black person covering a white, like, song originally done by a white artist. Originally. Or at least made famous by a white artist.
Correct.
And then also, it helps if the video has them, like, it's actually a performance.
Right,
like it's a video of it, like because we play the video on Crowdcast for our audience to see. So some people send me some links, but they're not actual videos. It's just like a picture of artwork or something, and the person is covering it.
Right.
I may or may not play those if I get down desperate enough, but I prefer the ones where we can kind of make jokes about whatever is going on in the background. Sorry family, by long overdue fan who says 5 stars. I've been listening too long to not have done this. Y'all get me through my week. I love the show and had to finally put 5 on it. Oh, and the black power emoji.
Oh, thank you. You right on time. I'll tell people, whenever you show up, you right on time.
It's all forgiven when you put that 5 stars in, okay? You gotta remember, we don't know which of you niggas ain't do it. You know, cause it's like, some people come up and be all up in your face. Oh, I love y'all. Y'all are my favorites. And it's like, oh, cool. I know they must have left 5-star review. And then later on, they'd be like, oh, no, I never left 5-star review. So, hey, I never know. So I just hope, I'm just thankful and celebrating every one of these that we get. Love it by Kate Elena, who says, the best, insightful and funny. I enjoy Rod and Karen's banter and coverage of current events. The best, also love Rod's coverage of This Is Us. Yes, me and Bossy, this too much. I think our show might come back this week.
Coming soon.
I gotta look up the DVR there, and
it'll be lit up when it come back.
See what Bossy's up to. You know, she's busy touring with the book and traveling all these places and giving talks. And I knew she was gonna be I will see if we can figure out a schedule. You know, because we really play it by ear week to week. And so this year we may have to do a few more skips of stuff, especially depending on, you know, just how she's feeling, man. I know she probably be tired as hell hopping on all the planes and all that shit. So, but we're going to try to continue to, you know, to cover it in some shape or form or fashion. My cousin's in my head, 5 stars, heart emoji, by Legal Eagle 0512, who says, hey, Karen and Rod. Oh, hey Rod and Karen, I'm a newish listener and have finally decided to stop being a bum and leave a review. LOL.
Thank you.
I heard Chris Lambert mention you on his show numerous times, but I didn't start listening until you saw you guys on HBO talking about Game of Thrones. After listening to those recaps, I fell in love with you guys and your humor. It reminds me of home, sitting around chilling with the family, or as my mom simply puts it, talking shit and telling lies. P.S. shout out to your mom, a truth teller. I respect it. Put that on a shirt. Talking shit and telling lies. P.S. I love the new intros for White People News. You know, we always come with the old Bay and the Cage of Sparkle. Also, Death to Sugar Grits Eaters, do not at me. Yes! Thank you. We need more support on this side. It's not enough there's too much tolerance going on with the sugar content of these grits. Okay, that's the one place I'm not open-minded.
Oh.
I can't see both sides on that. My faves and your faves by P Cola Unique, who says, I felt like a bum when you guys had no reviews last week. So here's your 5 stars. This is my favorite podcast, Rod. Can you share a small list of your favorite podcasts? Thanks, bunches. Sure. I don't know if it will be a small list, as I tell you guys, right? I listen to a lot of podcasts, but I mean,
do I need to get my phone?
I will try. Well, she asked me, not you. So I will try to put y'all up on.
Excuse me.
I will try to put y'all up on game.
Well, you gonna get mine anyway. I'm gonna get my phone.
I knew it. Well, all right. So, she didn't even have a phone in here, y'all. Wow. See, your boy comes prepared. Okay. Cause he cares about y'all. Let's see. I like Three Guys On, which is a comedy podcast by, Andy and Randolph, who've come on the pod on our show as guests before. And they do, 2 episodes weekly. One's behind a paywall. And they just talk pop culture, politics, you know, current events, that type of thing. Very funny bits come from there. I love when they talk inside baseball stuff with comedy and comedians and stuff like that. What's the Tea, which is our friends and, of course, podcasters, Nick Jew and, Reggie, R to the Edgy. And I love that podcast because it really sounds like two friends that you just happen to like they called you and put you on three-way.
Yeah, you just listening in.
Yeah, you just went on mute and just listened to them. Where's My 40 Acres, of course, which is like, you know, our friends once again. When we did NegroCon, we did it with them. And Movie Trailer Reviews, which is also another podcast that Chris does, which he's been on the show before. He's also on the Nerd Off almost every episode. And those are like our friend shows. I'm sure there's even more.
Yeah.
And then there's people that, you know, I haven't really got to necessarily meet them in real life or be friends with them or whatever, or just I'm a fan of them. And so like Tea with Queen and Jay, as I mentioned earlier, I listen to them every week. I think it's a very good show, and it's like woke, but it can still be kind of funny and human, and it's not like just them coming down on people every week all day. Like sometimes I have to check out a certain woke shows because I feel like it's not human enough,
right?
And if there's no understanding of like people ain't perfect, the person telling you this isn't perfect, we're all kind of like on this journey together, and you hope that you're improving every day. And of course there are some people that need to be rode on, but I'm just saying in general, like I kind of like that feel. So I listen to them. The Secret Lives of Black Women, I fuck with that podcast. It's kind of a newish one. It's black, it's two black women who host it. Charla and Lauren, I think. And they go and talk to, just different black women, so, like famous or whatever, just people you might even know, and then they'll just like talk about like their journeys and what helps them, how they get to where they are, you know, that kind of stuff that I really like. Man, there's so many podcasts I listen to.
Mm-hmm.
I'll try to leave some for Karen. Of course, The Right Time and The Evening Jones with Bomani Jones, big friend of the podcast, friend in real life. I've been listening to the Benjamin Dixon show a lot lately. Mm-hmm. Because I wanted to hear more about like politics from like really leftist progressive type of views. So you know, I like it. I think he has some good interviews and stuff too. But it is politics and it is really left, so you know, if you're not into it, you know, if you're not into that. Then Radio Atlantic is such a great listen because it's politics, but it's like they get really good interviews and they go in depth with experts on topics that they don't just like brush over. So like when you hear like when you see like the news talking about certain topics like immigration, they talk about it for like 5 minutes. And I'm like, how the fuck can anyone break down immigration or what's going on at the border in 5 minutes? That's not possible. So like I love when Radio Atlantic has like an expert and they're like, this person has been, they're an activist who's been working at the crisis at the border, and they'll like break it down, you know, like from their perspective. They've also interviewed presidential candidates. Cory Booker, I got to know more about him via this podcast. I know Beto O'Rourke was on there 2 weeks ago. I haven't listened to that one yet. Playable Characters is a very funny podcast if you like video games. Playable Characters, they've been on our show before, but it's so brilliant. They bring on people to basically do impressions of video game characters, and then they interview the video game characters. And we haven't been on the show yet, but we recorded an episode with them, and it should be out in a few weeks. We had so much fun. I'm not gonna spoil it.
No,
I'm just gonna say, just Playable Characters is so great. And let's see what else. Marsha's Play, I just started listening to them like maybe a month or so ago. But it's Black Trans Talk, so it's three people that are of the trans like experience, and then they talk about things from their perspective. And I think it's really, I mean, obviously it's just important because that's not a voice that we always have, and especially from people of color. So, you know, instead of us speculating on like, oh, this must be how people feel, is people telling you how they feel from their experience right there. You know, and I think it's really important because you learn a few things, like trans people aren't a monolith the same way we aren't a monolith. Correct. The same way anyone's not a monolith, right? Black people not a monolith. And I think it's easy to get into that. And then also, like, a lot of the things that we discuss about trans people is very binary because of the rigid structure of patriarchy, right? It's, you're a boy or you're a girl, you're this, you're that, you're, and then people are saying like, that's not my experience. Or, you know, we get into these philosophical debates, and then, you know, you'll listen to people that are trans, and they'll be like, well, you know, I can see kind of both sides of this thing that y'all are like fighting over, you know. So I like, that's kind of important because, like I said, I don't ever want to talk over people. I'm just giving my empathetic opinion on stuff, but it's, sometimes I feel like, you know, there's a lot of us who are trying to be like good, you know, like family and friend folk, you know, we out here trying to spread the message and awareness, but it's not our experience, so we can't necessarily tell you like, this is what it feels like. We can just only imagine, right? And so I think that's why that show is so dope. And last podcast on the left, if you like true crime, it's a very good true crime podcast, and it's very funny to me. It's a dude bro-ish. It is three white dudes, so if you know you can't handle white dudes saying bro-y ass shit, hey, totally understand. Warning you right now. But I love it because they get so much detail in the shit, and you know, I enjoy it. And there's probably another, I'm not exaggerating, there's at least another like 50 podcasts I could tell you about, but I'm just not going to. When I say I listen to just about everything and everyone, I really do. So, all right, Karen.
The same thing. I listen to so many different podcasts, like I said, and my list is in no particular order. Me and Roger listen to a lot of the same ones, so I'm not going to cover the ones that he's already covered. But I like to listen to Black Ass Podcast. That is a great show. She doesn't do her show too frequently, but when she does do a show, it's like a good time. It's like your aunt that just checks in every now and then just to see how you doing, and then she just get missing for a while. So I really love her. Get Wood by Jess Woods, I really enjoy that podcast. Jess Wood has been on the show, and she is hilarious. She had a show like last weekend. I hope it went good. It was a sold out show. Also, I listen to Three Fifths Podcast. I love those guys over there. Character Corner, which is one of my also favorite podcasts, is a show that Chris and D-Pom do over at Movie Trailer Review, and they talk about comic book characters, but it isn't like your normal comic book character talk. They go into depth, they go into details, they'll cover certain people's runs, and they'll talk about the runs, and they'll break down the characters, they talk about the women, they talk about LGBTQ characters. Like, it is just so much fun to get your knowledge on comic books without having to know everything. And it's very educational for me, very, very educational. And if you want to get into comic books, there's a great way to start. And they cover like the big three, and then, you know, they talk about stuff that's not in that realm. Also, Therapy for Black Girls. I really like that podcast because I've been talking about getting a therapist. That's one thing I want to do. And over there, they actually have like a list of like black therapists like all across the country. So you can go and actually find like a black therapist, a female black therapist, if that's what you're looking for. The Span Report, Mr. Span, I enjoy his podcast a lot. I listen to it very, very weekly. Medium Popcorn, y'all know we love them over there.
the Nerdpocalypse podcast. We love them over there. Like I said, I'm just kind of going through since Roger kind of named a lot of them. Still processing. I actually enjoyed them over there. The Nod, I enjoyed them over there a lot.
And both of those are podcasts that I think people like try to kind of shit on sometimes.
They're very good at what they do.
This is black podcasting for white folks and shit. And I disagree. But then two, what they do, I think is so dope and fun. And I really want people to stop and think about when they critique those shows that way, because what you're essentially saying is there should be no black voices over there. Because that's basically what you're saying, because they're doing it for, like, in the style that they want to do it and the production that they're doing it for and whatnot. But it's like, what's so not black about them? I've listened to those episodes. They sound like black people to me. They talk about black shit. I've never heard them, like, quote unquote, cooning it up. Like, I don't see them over there being like, black people are the real problem. Am I right, guys? Mm-hmm. If we would just cut our hair and pull up our pants, like, they're not those people. So I wish people would, like, you don't have to like it and you don't have to listen, but I wish people would be a little more sensitive to the shit they're saying about those shows, because it comes off like, well, because they own with these white folks, but you know, they ain't real. It's like, well, I mean, if some company came and was like, yo, I'm green lighting your shit, like, that's what people are gonna say about you. And is that fair? Will you have substantially changed because you know, the New York Times said, hey, we're gonna produce your show now? No. So let's not do that.
And they still talk about black shit.
Yeah, I love their shows. Right. And they had the resources and the time to go deep.
Yes, they do. So, the Story Geek podcast, we enjoy them.
We've been there.
I have a ball with them. Hey, you know it. I've been listening to them for a very, very long time. They are hilarious. Jaquetta and Katie. Mm-hmm. We love them.
It's been too long.
We got to get them on.
I have to hit them up.
Yes.
It's my fault. It's really my fault.
We got to get them on. It is a ball, listening, to them. Sunday Civics, Eljoy.
Yes.
And
you can learn a lot from that. Eljoy is very politically, like, educated and minded. And, like, she takes a lot of the stuff that you see guys on, like, you know, TV, or you read on the internet or whatever, or you see a video of it, and people try to, like, either overly simplify it or take it out of context. And I love that she has the ability to take it, put it in context, and be like, this is how it affects real people.
Mm-hmm.
This is what this process is actually like.
Right.
And this is why you can't really listen to the noise. You have to really be grounded and educated and stuff.
Right. And so, like I said, I'm covering, kind of picking the ones that Roger haven't
just keep going
covered.
Just keep going.
Okay.
Thanks, explain.
Okay, so I'm keep going down my little list, y'all. Black on Black Cinema, I actually enjoyed them a lot. They cover black movies, and it's really fun to listen to them critique and talk about it. Code Switch, I actually really enjoy Code Switch. Let me see.
You can do one more, because we've been doing this part for a long time.
So I told you we'd get caught up in. Okay, I gotta pick one more. Okay, Reaganomics.
Oh yeah, that's podcast. Our girl, Reagan Gomez.
Yes. So for those of you that are fans of Reagan, she actually does have a podcast. If you don't know, so you can go check out. Like I said, I could go longer, y'all, but there's too many. Y'all opened up Pandora box over here.
And also, if you want to hear some like podcasts that, you know, we, and I do need to update the list a little bit, but we try to keep it somewhat updated. But on our podcast page, theblackoutips.com, there's a Friends of the Show link at the top of the page. Click that and a bunch of podcasts and stuff are there. And we try to like clean it up, so if people stop doing their podcast or not blogging or whatever, we take it off.
We
but for people that keep it updated and all that stuff, they're on there. And yeah, there's some people I need to add, I just realized.
Yeah. And Hot Five Starter, that right there.
Yes.
Yeah, that goes without being said, but would I want to drop their name just so everybody, you know.
Oh yeah,
know.
Absolutely. There would be no Dim Thrones. I think that's how you say you found us. Mm-hmm. There would be no Dim Thrones without Five Starter, period. And I do listen to them weekly and write in. They are, you know, a little bit, they're a little problematic. Okay, so if you can't handle like niggas talking about nigga shit,
it's an acquired taste.
Yeah, so just letting you know before we
but
get
I don't mind.
Get some fucking feedback, like, what about, they said, hey, we don't write the show, we just listen to the show.
We just fans.
I listen to people literally that you know, I listen to people at kind of like different extremes of different topics, because I do want to hear their logic and their reasoning
and hear their perspectives.
Yeah. And sometimes, you know, I know it's my privilege as a straight black man that I can like, or cishet black man, that I can like, I've been around so many conversations like that, I'm just like, okay, I disagree, but that's just how niggas be talking.
Yeah, and also from I'm just gonna say, from a woman's perspective, for me, a lot of times you get insight into how men think without women around. I know, right. You know, that's something that, you know, for a lot of women it's a complete turn off, because, you know, yeah, it ended up being the dude bro fest. I completely understand that, but for me, their perspectives is a perspective that me as a woman I would never come up with, and their logic and their reasoning to why and how they come up with this, it actually give me as a woman an insight kind of how men's minds ticks, because everybody of the opposite sex just thinks they know them. Yeah, you do to an extent, and sometimes we generalize, but actually we don't know, because sometimes we don't even, just like women complain about how men never take the time to get to know them, sometimes women never take the time to get to know men, and people don't talk about that perspective, but that's a true statement too.
Yes, yeah, it's interesting being black and listening to different types of podcasts, because I listen to some podcasts where you can tell, like, people, like, the people on this podcast are talking about the kind of people on that podcast, and I'll like listen to both sides to kind of hear like where's the logic coming from, where's the reasoning coming from, what are people's experiences like, how does this happen in the real world, and it helps me to add that perspective or that experience to just like my own, and I hope everyone's doing this by the way, but it helps it to add to like my own analysis of things, to be like, okay, so this is how that experience goes on the other side. So something as simple, a perfect example is when Feminista Jones used to and she probably still does, but tweet hashtag you okay sis, and that was, for a lot of people, they rejected that right away, because the idea of how women feel when men catcall them, for a lot of men, was like a what the fuck, like, what, but I'm not like that, you know, that kind of shit, as opposed to listening and being like, well, if you're not like that, and yet this is how women feel, why would you continue to do this thing? Right? Like, if someone's telling you, like, hey, I feel threatened when you yell at me from across the fucking street, and then you're like, well, you shouldn't be, I'm just trying to get your number or whatever the fuck. Okay, well, I'm telling you how it is and why you ain't getting my number. The end result of that should be, okay. You know? And at the same time, I've listened to men talk about, like, feeling criminalized and all this shit too, to get their perspective, so that now I just take that information and go to guys like, well, here's why the fuck that's wrong, you know, as opposed to being like, no, you got a good point, like, sometimes I just want to see what you're thinking, so I can be like, nah, this is why I disagree with that, you know. So anyway,
mm-hmm. Yeah, that's how, and y'all know it, we could have been here for another hour naming podcast, so just so you know, we listen to a lot of them.
Yeah, we could have did a whole episode of this show about other people's shows.
What
And that's the other thing. I try my best to like remember to share some of this stuff. Like,
yeah, sometimes, you know, I forget.
Just the guests you named, Chris Lambert, we had JL Covan. All these people have podcasts. I try my best to like share on my social media when I'm listening to people's shows, but sometimes I just forget. I just be listening and get binging, and then I'm just like, oh fuck, I never said
having
that.
A ball.
All right, my faves and your faves. I think we already did this one. Okay. A dope podcast to make a fixture in your life by Kim 101, who says 5 stars. Ever since I started listening about a year and a half ago, I've been hooked on these two. From their takes on politics to social justice issues to LGBTQIA news to sports to sword ratchetness, they give me everything I need. Informative, spirited, passionate, heartfelt, dope, balanced, intentional. What I enjoy about Rod and Karen is that they don't have to agree with, you don't have to, I don't have to agree with them 100%. And enjoy their point of view, that's rare in these times like this. I've stopped watching the news because I can for sure say this podcast keeps me informed in a way that is so much more palatable than mainstream media. Grateful to have the founders podcast, Kim Doc. Thank you. Yeah, and I mean, it's, we had such a weird time, because at once I feel like, yes, we do need to be vigilant about justice and our points of view and our understanding of things and our allyship with people and our advocacy for ourselves and others, but at the same time I feel like culturally, not legally, okay, culturally, there is such a like, if it's my way or the highway right now with a lot of people. So it's like, people could fuck with you for years. You do one thing they don't like and it's fuck you. And creatives live in constant fear of that. it's not rational to believe in constant fear of that. You need to understand that some people just operate that way. They always have. And now they just have more tools to reach you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as long as you're being authentic and true to yourself and trying your best, I think that's all you can really ask from yourself. But it is a bit different these days because I do feel like people are very much on edge, especially after Trump. It's very much like one thing and you're a coon, one thing and you're, and I don't support you, and you were never this, that, and the other. Like, that is a thing for people now. And so I love when people say, yo, I listen, I don't agree with everything, but you know, I feel like y'all make it to a point where it's not like, if you don't agree with us, fuck you, don't listen to the show. Mm-mm. You know, cause that's not the vibe I'm trying to put off, especially on most comments, on most topics. There's some topics that may come off that way, and that's okay. T Cropper says, or T Cropper, maybe that's like T'Challa, T Cropper says, 5 stars, love y'all. Thank you.
Thank you. It don't have to be long, y'all. Say, to be short and sweet.
And then we got some Stitcher reviews. Please Believe says 5 stars, long overdue review. Got turned onto this show via Twitter back in the day. This is long overdue.
Woo!
But nah, it's always on time. Love the unique perspective on current events and pop culture. Always sharing episodes on Facebook and always recommending it to people during those icebreaker conversations that somehow get on the topic of podcasts. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Believe it or not, that's probably how we get a lot of our listeners. It's just y'all being like, oh yeah, you listen to this? Alicia underscore Nicole says 5 stars, 5 days ago, says the best podcast out there. Not one for words or to usually leave a review. But if you have not checked out this podcast, go ahead. You won't regret it. And I bet you will. I bet you this will quickly be added to your favorites. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Skyjammer says, wow, 5 stars. I stopped everything I was doing to come lead this review. W.E.B. DeBage, I'm dead. Thank you for that one, bro. Shout out to Karen. I'm pretty sure I didn't come up with that one. That is just something I saw on Twitter, dog. I didn't come up. Listen, in all fairness, I have been so tempted to make jokes about Sean King not being black and a whole lot of like black historical figure puns have come and gone in my brain, but I am so proud of myself for not doing it. Okay, do y'all understand my brain?
Be the better person.
How hard it is to look at other people having
fun. Because that's the thing, it'd be joke time. You'd be like, ooh, joke time.
I'm like that Kermit meme with him looking out the window.
Right, sad with the rain.
Because I really am trying not to do that to other black people, man.
Right.
I know it's funny. I'm not telling anybody what they can and can't do.
You know, we always.
I'm just personally, my own personal values, I'm not going through it. If that man is not a black person, and y'all can definitively prove that, then hey, we can do the Rachel Dolezal thing all day. But if it's what it looks like, which is that he got some black in him and just people don't like him, so we want to take it away from him, I get it, you know, but I just don't want to participate in it, especially being that that rumor started on Breitbart and all those white right-wing sites. So
right,
you know, to be fair, in all honesty, when I see black people perpetuating that shit, I'm always kind of like, okay. And a lot of the black people doing it is like one step into blackness themselves. I'm like, nigga, you just barely made it. What are you doing? So it's, I don't know, man, it just don't seem right. So there's a lot of other problems and shit people can have with him that I think are valid. And you know, it's just like being fat. Once you say something that people don't like, they feel like they can just come at your neck about your weight.
Right.
And that's kind of what this is like. He's done some shit people don't like, so they think it's okay to come at him about his blackness and, you know, be the same people that say there's no such thing as talking black, or, you know, no one should question your
blackness.
Yeah, no one should question your blackness. The same people that be mad when light-skinned celebrities aren't talking black enough, or people that they find to be Afro-Latinics aren't, like, speaking to the black side of things enough, and, like, it was just a big confusing mess. And so I just try not to delve into that part, but I have heard the jokes and the names are funny. I mean, what am I gonna say? They funny as hell. I'm just trying my best not to do none, because Lord knows I've started so many tweets with like, oh, y'all ain't heard this one. I like, nope, delete.
Nope.
In the draft folder, in the draft. Ron and Karen, name a better duo, I'll Wait by Jairus in Hong Kong. Shout out to my man Jairus, 5 stars. Dear interwebs, This is hand down one of the best podcasts out right now. Rod and Karen continue to deliver a show that feels authentic and true to itself. They're consistently honest and straightforward when it comes to their opinions, and most importantly, they stand behind their opinions. What I appreciate most about this is that you can tell that Rod and Karen have thought about an issue before speaking on it. There aren't any hot takes, so if that's what you're into, this podcast is not for you. It's not for you if you enjoy listening to two people who really love each other and find humor in real life situations. It is for you if you enjoy challenging your own views when faced with new perspectives. It's for you if you enjoy laughing at jokes and puns from white people news to guess the race to fucking with black people. He got that fucking in there, but he spelled it with PH. The Black Autism is a show unlike any other out there. Give it a listen and recommend it to your friends.
Thank you.
We lit, y'all. We in the building. I appreciate all these 5-star reviews, man. Y'all really came through, man.
Yes, y'all did. Thank you.
You know, that every time there's a drought, you know, y'all be like, hold up, we got y'all on the back end.
Yeah,
like I said, it could have just been we did the show too early last week.
I
can't remember what time we did it, but sometimes iTunes doesn't upload the reviews till later in the day or something.
Right.
I don't know. It was just a weird fluke, I guess. But hey, man, y'all back. Y'all came back hard.
We are here for it.
Thank you, everybody. All right, we have comments on the website as well, theblackguywhotips.com. You can go there, click on the episode, leave comments, leave your reviews, vote in the polls, leave comments on those. The first episode was a feedback episode called Too Many Hoes for One Man, the one where I got in trouble for making a joke about saying you're gonna get all the bitches. I also did say you're gonna get all the hoes. I thought, to me, let me just explain, I do find bitches and hoes to be gender neutral declarations.
Mm-hmm.
Like a man can be a bitch, a woman can be a bitch, a car can be a bitch.
It's a person, a place, a thing, an adjective, adverb.
But I do understand that, you know, a dude saying it might make women feel differently about it. So I respect that, but I guess this is one area I'm gonna continue to be problematic in. I don't know what to tell you, and I do understand if this means you don't want to listen to the show. Cause I came through that shit and it's still in me, y'all. I'm not 100%.
I'm not cured of it.
So, you know, I try not to use it in the term of like women are bitches. I try to leave it out of that. But like, to me, to be like if I say you gonna get all the hoes, I'm like, all man, woman. Okay, do you understand? And I thought it was just obviously a joke because a person was using my picture for their profile, and the normal way to go with that is to be like, take it down, you know, which is obvious. Now I'm explaining a joke. You know what? Either you got it or you didn't. All right, four comments. Classic R&B lover says,
in your own head.
Yeah. Classic R&B lover says, I was just pondering the possibility of rereading the Harry Potter series, but my move meant my commute switched from taking a bus, which allowed me to read and listen to podcasts to driving, which means podcasts are my only companion. Hearing Karen mention that the series is on audiobooks means I know where my credits will be going for a while. Luckily, I have a couple of extra ones as I try to wait for sales.
Shout out J.K. Rowling. That's the one to get y'all. There's several different versions out there, but that is the best one.
J.K. Rowling is
not the author. Shit. Hold on.
All right. I don't know how many credits a book costs, by the way. Is it just one credit?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, so because I got an email that we got one available credit. Oh,
probably because I've been buying shit.
Okay. But yeah, so get you some audiobooks on, y'all. It's good, like podcasts, and you're reading and you're, you know, entertaining your mind just as much as listening to a podcast.
Yeah, it is J.K. Rowling. Yeah.
That's the author. Is that the person who does the narration or
the narration?
J.K. Rowling did the narration of her own Harry Potter. What? I thought it was a dude.
It is a dude.
J.K. Rowling is a woman.
Oh, who is this dude then? My bad.
Are there multiple versions of narration of Harry Potter on there?
Yes, there is.
Oh, that's interesting.
So I was trying to find the one that I'm listening to, and that's probably just the name and the title. I'll go find out for you, baby. I'm sorry.
All right. Anonymous says, can't believe people slandering Arby's in the feedback. This show's name should be changed to The Black Guy Who Hates Arby's. Just for the record, they have the meats.
You and Evie.
Okay.
You sure Evie didn't write that?
Evie, stop, because it says anonymous. Stop logging in. because guess where the next comment is from? The one after it.
Evie!
Now people, Evie. Now people are leaving Arby's slander on feedback shows.
We know you did that.
This show should be changed to the black guy who hates Arby's. I was at Arby's this week and it was delicious. They had a meat. You're not fooling nobody, Evie.
You're not tricking nobody. We know it's you.
And as the site administrator, I can see clearly you're using the same IP address, okay? Like, come on, man. Don't be trying to make it seem like y'all are legion. It's one nigga that love Arby's in all the Black Guy with Tips podcast land is you. And I know you probably work for Big Arby's or some shit, or Big Roast Beef.
Not Big Arby's!
Work in the Roast Beef lobby. You're not fooling us with this. We've all driven by them empty ass restaurants. Try to act like our eyes is lying.
Not to get off topic, his name is Jim Dale. Jim Dale, he did all 7 books. That's the author. The voice actor.
That's the narrator. Yeah. Okay. The poll was, does the opening of Pixar's Up make you cry? Nope, never. Only the first time. Yes, every time. Karen?
I guess only the first time, because I only seen it one time.
So it made you cry?
Yeah, it was sweet.
I didn't see you crying over there.
It didn't make me bawl or nothing like that.
I didn't see you crying at all, but okay. If you say you were crying, I'm going to take your word for it.
Sometimes tears don't always come out, but yes, it touched my heart.
Well, I've seen it more than once, and apparently the answer is yes every time. So 30% was with me. 43% said only the first time, but Karen's only watched it one time. And nope, never, 26%. CT says it absolutely does. The first time I watched the movie, I didn't know what to expect, and I was totally caught off guard when I started crying 3 minutes into the movie. It was beautiful. Yeah, man, that opening thing is powerful, man. Came front on it. They was right about that one. Episode 1959, The Sandwich Police. We got 4 comments on this joint. Let's get into them. Let's see. I don't know how you spell this. How you pronounce it? GATHWAEGL. Gath? Let's call you Gath. The Sean King stuff has been interesting to watch play out in real time. I'm always here for the jokes, but my bottom line has mostly been that I won't give him my money because he doesn't have the best track record on delivering what he intends to. Great point. That's my decision. I prefer to give people with better track record my money. Mm-hmm. The stuff people have been putting him and his family through is rough. There's no excuse for it. Yeah, man, I don't, like, I understand people's whole, like, well, all these people don't fuck with him, so that should be enough reason for everybody. I do get it, and I mean, I don't fuck with him, you know, to be frank. You never caught us on the show reading his shit or talking about, you know, leave him alone or whatever. Like, it's not that to me. It's just a matter of, I think a lot of these people don't realize there's dirt on all of them, and there's people that don't fuck with all of them, and then they just go pick a side. And it's like, this isn't fucking Marvel Civil War. You don't get to decide for everybody else what they're gonna do. You know, if you don't fuck with him, then don't fuck with him. And you know, tell everybody not to fuck with him, that's cool, but some people still gonna fuck with him. I don't like how you the same people that go nobody gets canceled, but you always expect these cancellations. You're wasting your time. And then none of it, as Karen said on the show, none of it has anything to do with the work, quote unquote. None of it. Again, you pointed out there's no one here saying he stole my money. Yeah, that's the thing that's weird too, is like, it's activists that he's fucked over in some type of way, and then not enough of it is just people being like, he took my money. You know, I gave him money, where the fuck is my money? He didn't deliver, he gave money back. There's, you know, there's a bunch of other shit, but just, you know, 37 families giving statements. I'm supposed to ignore them and be like, but them people online said this. I'm not ignoring it. I'm sorry. You know, if that lets people down, then it's too bad. Like, the good news is for you and me is I don't fuck with any of it. So it doesn't really matter if I believe you or not, you know, but you know, it's hard. Like, they want you to just believe the shit they're saying and be like, fuck everything else. And both sides are telling me that. Sean King's telling me, well, don't listen to any of these people. And then these people are telling me, don't listen to anything Sean King says. And then they get mad when everyone's frustrated or exasperated or tired. And you know what else? It's been a week. Has anybody noticed no one else is talking about it online anymore?
Right.
Anyone else notice that? Cause the shit wasn't important. If the nigga wasn't getting an award, none of this would have happened.
Correct.
So, I mean, it's just frustrating and a waste of time, ultimately. And we're gonna go through the same thing again if, any of the activists involved gets, if they get an award, or if he gets recognized again, or he tries some shit, or gets on TV. Like, it's all the same shit. I remember every time DeRay used to get on TV, it used to be a thing. He'd be on Twitter and it'd be like, fuck DeRay, let me tell you what's wrong with him. He's a grifter, he's this, that, and the other. Every time he got on TV, you know? So, I don't know, man. I'm just trying to let all of them do their work and leave me the fuck out of it. I wish they would stop pleading to everybody to cancel one or the other, because it ain't gonna happen.
Mm-mm.
When I first heard that Sean had hilarious money, it was when I was living in Atlanta. This was after he and his family moved, but I heard he had been working as a pastor for a good while in the area. So every opportunity I had to talk to someone who had worked with him or interacted with him, I asked. No one that I ever talked to ever said he stole their money or whatever. For the people who are still donating to him, they always say it's because they still want to support him in whatever he's doing. Yeah, I mean, you know, not that it's bad, but as soon as I see somebody coming from like that religious type of background or mega church type of aspect of it, I already kind of be like, we'll see. Just because you never know. Religion's one of those things you can hide behind and be like, you have to support me, this is what God wants, you know what I mean, or this is my calling or whatever. And people a lot of times just be like, okay, I have to support this man as a man of God. We've all seen it. I mean, people still go to that dude's church who wouldn't open up the Joel Osteen's church. Like, people still fuck with him. So, you know, that's like singing a gospel song to Apollo. How the fuck, there's always gonna be some people that fuck with you after you do that. No foul there. I understand that people are rightfully being mad about him taking credit for their work or whatever. There are a lot of points to make against him that are valid, but stealing money, I don't see it. Until someone has real proof of that, I have nothing to go off of. Yeah, and then the other thing too, and I mean, it's the truth, man. Even when he's provided answers, the reply is like, really? Like, it's like, it doesn't matter what the answer is.
Mm-mm.
You know, and I think that's a lack of integrity on both sides of that shit. Because if somebody says, this is where the money went for this thing that you accuse me of, and you don't have proof that that's a lie, I don't think you should just keep rolling with it like, nah, fuck that evidence. Because then you lose me. Because now I was like, on your side at first, like, yeah, where is that money? And he's like, well, this is why these numbers were different. Yeah, well, is it? Like, that's not a fucking, it's not a reply. It doesn't affect me in my life however it plays out, but people are just so engrossed in this. I haven't sat down to read the documents from either side yet. Yeah, I actually did, and I'm really sad that I did, because it honestly was a waste of my fucking time.
Yeah, don't waste your time.
So, you know, I mean, do what you want to do. I'm not telling y'all not to waste y'all time. I'm just telling y'all how it worked with me. I read all of that shit, and it just didn't matter to either side.
Mm-mm.
So what the fuck did I do that for? That was stupid. I'm not too keen on prioritizing over everything else I need to get done, but this is just more of the same stuff over and over. Yeah, good luck to them, everybody. MZM, Miss Me, I guess, says, laugh my ass off. Namaste, y'all. That's merch. Shout out to the Unofficial Expert Podcast, but seriously, I need one of y'all to get on that design so I can have my tank. Yeah, I do need to figure out how to make simple designs out of slogans and logos and stuff we say on the show. Like, it doesn't need to have artwork.
Mm-mm.
But I haven't really figured out how to do it. I don't know enough about, like, you know, Microsoft Paint or whatever to do it.
Pretty
but
sure there's programs it.
I'm sure they are, Karen, and I've actually spent some time looking for them this week, and I'm okay. Just telling y'all right now, I still haven't figured it out. So I'll keep looking, I'll keep trying to figure it out myself. But that was this one. And then someone said they want a shirt that says I love being black and southern, which is something I said a couple weeks ago, and I would love to put these things on shirts. I just don't know how. So we go T Public, which doesn't have like a shirt creator thing. Teespring did. So
right.
I don't know. T Public is like you upload your art to the thing. So I would need like the art. So.
Okay.
Classic R&B lover says, Rod and Karen, your comments regarding Sean King were so dead on. I keep asking the same thing you did. Is Sean really scamming all these victims? Why are they not slamming him? The soapbox clearly exists for them to climb onto if they so desire. As someone on the outside who used to follow both Sean and DeRay, the only way I could make sense of the madness was by unfollowing both. See? And that's my fucking point, man. That's the one thing that was consistent in both sides of these people going back and forth was in the first paragraph of all the pieces, and it's always the same thing. You know, I thought about this a long time, and everybody told me not to do it. Why are you doing it then? Because they were right. The people who said not to do it were actually right. Because you're exhausting people, and people are going, well, I just won't fuck with either of you. You both sound shady to me now. Is that the goal?
To burn nobody get no support?
Yeah, to burn the other, what would you say, to burn the bridge and now no one can cross? Why? Is that the whole goal? I don't know. And guess what happened then? A lot of information I would like to know was not presented to me. How did I find out? Someone who had access to their Twitter accounts forwarded the information. It saddens me to see people not realize that not only are they damaging each other, they're damaging those among us who are most truly in need. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they end up, not trying to find it, both of them are big. All jokes about, yeah, they're humongous compared to the little small organizations that are barely, you know, making their budget and not making, mm-hmm, their budget. Those are the people that really need the help. And a lot of times those organizations are bypassed. And we, you know, people are talking about these larger organizations, and at the end of the day, the small ones still don't get the money, because odds are, if you're not fucking with either one of them, you're not gonna fuck with the smaller organizations that may be associated with them, because you'll be like, oh, no, ain't nobody getting no goddamn money.
Yeah, and the thing is, because it's Twitter, and no one's perfect, everybody involved has been messy or wrong about something. I've seen it. You know, it's one of the reasons I'm not as hard on activists as most people are. Because people normally are very hard on activists. They, mm-hmm, do anything they don't like. They're like, anything. Fuck you. I don't fuck with you no more. You know, and they bring up the one thing like, oh, you know, this motherfucker got a car or some shit, like, you know, just something. And I'm not really like that. Mm-mm. But at the same time, it's because I'm not putting them on a pedestal in the first place. So I'm like, all right, I'm not gonna put you on the pedestal to knock you off of it later, but that also means that not everything you say I'm just hopping on board with. EVE says Felicity Huffman will be, oh, and then ultimately it's still because it's two black males, like I said,
people even care in
if this shit
place.
Was two black women activists, none of us, I mean, shit, black women activists have had active beef with each other, yeah,
on Twitter platforms.
Nobody's talking about it. It's not, no one's writing Medium pieces about it. No one's sharing them. The fucking major news outlets aren't covering it.
Nobody cares.
No one's awarding them at the award shows. No one gives a fuck. EVE says Felicity Huffman will be all right. She'll do her 2 weeks or probably 3 days, get out and write a book. Lori Loughlin, on the other hand, may actually get a whole year for not cooperating, but I can't see her getting more time than that. Must be not so nice to live and be white in America. First of all, you're not gonna minimize my girl Felicity's time, a political prisoner in America. Mm-mm. We need to free her. Mm-mm. At all costs. Y'all ready to run up in Area 51? Who's gonna run up into jail to save Felicity? That's what I want to know.
Nobody.
The poll was, have you ever had a pumpkin spice latte? 48% said yes, 52% said no. Now imagine you're in a no group.
No, because one we had wasn't pumpkin spice, was it?
Yes, it was.
Oh, okay. Well, oh, I thought she did say they didn't have pumpkin.
No,
yes,
she did. So you have had one.
Yes, it was delicious.
Now imagine you're in the no group, and you still popping out for your motherfucking mouth about people should have had no pumpkin spice. Imagine the unmitigated gall to be one of them niggas. You ain't even had it. What you had about? You don't even know that it's bad. You just decided it's bad. Ignorance will not save us. Help us get free.
Oh Lord.
And free Felicity Huffman. Raven says, I resisted trying it for the longest because of this reputation as a drink for basic bitches. It is, though. I'm a basic bitch. Embrace it. It's okay. But I got curious one day and decided to get one. Well, now you can call me the queen of basic bitches, because I love the PSL. It's my favorite part of fall. Yes. That's how I found out I was in the crew. I put on them Uggs and tried that pumpkin spice. I said, oh, well, hold up now. Basic bitch has been getting a bad rep out here because I'm one now. Bad bitches will take too much work.
It, all come that on, it does.
Exercise and fashion and uncomfortableness with your heels and bras and
trying to keep your body in shape and shit
and your skinny jeans and all this shit. I don't got time for all that. I'm basic. Give me some warm, comfortable Uggs on a nice fall afternoon
and some yoga pants, even though I don't do yoga, and I'm happy.
The leaves are changing colors and I'll kick my Uggs up, lean back and sip on my PSL and listen to some Taylor Swift. Okay, that's what I call an afternoon. Brooklyn Shoe Babe says, I mean, look at how stress-free white women lives are. They go to jail for 3 days, y'all. Like, come on, we need to get some of this stress-freeness. Brooklyn Shoe Babe says, fuck yes, and I love them. Also, I love yoga pants, infinity scarves, and Uggs. Fight me, lol. Come on through the crew. Amon says, I tried my sister's PSL once. It wasn't good. But I only make fun of you, Rod, and my husband for drinking them. It's funny. Your husband drink it too, so he in the crew. Okay. So you married, you're married to a basic bitch.
You only
okay.
tried it once. They noticed different kinds. I bet this is the kind out there that you like.
No, you know, she don't deserve it.
Oh, okay.
If she didn't want at that first sip of PSL, she don't deserve the whole thing. No. Tired of y'all wasting it. If I'm getting a spice drink, I prefer a chai latte.
Those are good.
Yeah, I haven't had that one. Turmeric latte or cardamom tea latte. That sounds sophisticated.
I haven't had the lattes. I had the tea, but those are
yeah, good. I've had those tea. I haven't had those lattes. Do they just sell those at the same place they sell PSLs? Because I don't know. I might have to try those. I've tried other types of lattes, but ain't nothing hitting like that PSL, dog. Kim Doc says, I can't do candles and smell like delicious foods like apple pie, vanilla, cakes and pumpkin. It turns my stomach, but I know tons of people who love those scents. I'm more of a peach lemon type, but I like hearing that y'all set the fall scents out in your place. We do. House in there smelling like pumpkins all day. Allegra says, I am a former barista and I get excited every year when PSL season came around. I mean, come on, pumpkin spice, steamed frothy milk with a hint of espresso. How can you say no? Basically, because I was a bit lactose intolerant. I found that having it, I guess, brevet made from half and half instead of whole milk made it that much creamier and warm and fuzzy. Ooh, I might try that. I have a little lactose intolerance going on, but I'm trying to train my stomach to be more open-minded, okay? Because this is not an intolerant house, and we won't have it. Not up in here.
So next time, go half and half.
Okay, a lot of you Negroes are intolerant of the lactose, and I think it's very hypocritical. As people that have experienced a lack of tolerance, you know, I think we all feel left out at times, so... All right, let's see what else we got here on. We got episode 1960, hashtag free Felicity Huffman. That's why I started the campaign, the free our girl. Okay, so we all can get free. None of us is free till Felicity is free. I think we all free.
to freedom!
If they'll lock her up, they'll lock any of our ass up.
Come on, anybody get some.
Oh, man. hello Ron and Karen, you can call me anonymous. I just want to chime in regarding the manufacturer of the OxyContin filing for bankruptcy. I understand the commentary was meant to be facetious. However, OxyContin has and has always been known as a C2, which means that is that all drugs are classified based on their addiction potential. Drugs like OxyContin, Percocet, morphine and fentanyl are all very potent pain medicines. And this is probably a bit personal as a person of color who is also a pharmacist, but the opioid crisis is not the fault of the manufacturer, but more of the prescriber or doctors who wrote the prescriptions. First of all, if you're really a pharmacist, why is your handwriting not terrible? So I don't know if I can, the fact that I can read it, I'm just kidding. I know that's not true. Doctors have terrible handwriting.
What?
Pharmacists can read
it's
terrible
like
handwriting.
Circles.
Yeah, pharmacists can read terrible handwriting.
Oh yeah, that's Dr. Smith. Fuck is a tool, it's a smiley face. That's Dr. Smith.
How do y'all do that? Some of these prescribers were known as pill mills, meaning they made tons of cash, similar to the doctor in the show Claus. Medicines like OxyContin have a place, which is typically for terminally ill, chronic, severe pain patients. Similarly to, PTS with sickle cell, patients with sickle cell typically will take morphine for their pain. Instead of addressing the problem, which is medical bias among the community, the easy thing to blame is the drug manufacturer. This isn't towards you, but the government. The prescriber who easily orders Percocet for Becky's broken leg will tell Keisha to take Tylenol and Motrin. Yeah, who would have thought racism would have worked out for us? They was like, you niggers can take the pain. I'm like, well, thanks for not addicting me to opioids. And I just click my heels and jump out the window.
We'll just make your Advil 800 milligrams a pill.
I don't know what that means.
Yeah, we just make your Advil stronger, but we ain't give you the good shit.
Oh, okay. The real issue was over prescribing and the pill mill doctors. I could go on and on, but won't bore you. I just wanted to write in and quickly regarding this. Love y'all. Yeah, I feel you, man. I don't know why that family. I went to look at the details of the trial to see like why Purdue Pharma and that family that owns them were the ones that were being sued. I did find that when they knew they were being sued, their speculation, they put a lot of their money and their fortunes overseas to keep the government from seizing it. I don't know. Everything else I feel is speculation. So let me just note that right now and say this is speculation, but I do find it hard to believe they were making that much money from the drug and never once thought something is terribly wrong with the way this drug is being used. And maybe because they're the ones that got the profit, the government is like, it's now a government problem.
It's easy to go after y'all than to try to do well, the doctors.
No. Hold on. I'm not done.
Okay.
Hold on. That now that this is a public crisis of health and these are white folks, we're going to take your money and use it to treat them, right?
Mm-hmm.
Then there's the other part. They are going after the doctors. A lot of these doctors are going to jail. Like, that's how we're hearing about it. The pill mills and stuff, they're going to jail. So it's not like the doctors got off the hook, but I guess they're like, well, where did the money go? And then we need the money to fight this. I don't know. You know, and I mean, they weren't safe. And also, a lot of people feel like what happened was actually fucked up because they settled, and they settled for a lot less than the damage that was actually done to our country and to our citizens.
Yes.
And I know black people don't care mostly because it's white people that are the crux of the opioid crisis, which is what great joke that Chappelle had on his special, by the way, about how now we know how it feels to be white. And when we had the crack epidemic, white people would be like, that's those niggas' problem. And now we're walking around like, that's white people problems. So, but yeah, man, I tried to look up more details. I couldn't find them. Felix says, man, that Saturday Night Live stuff felt like it went by so fast. Maybe it's because I don't use Twitter as much these days, but it felt like I turned my phone on, saw the new hires, immediately followed by my feed being retweets of the racist podcast clip. Then the next time I opened Twitter, he was already fired. Folks working quick, man. Yeah, that was a good one too, because I tried to give him the benefit of the doubt and be like, maybe he just said a couple offhanded things, and you do podcasts, you talk hours a week or whatever, and sometimes you're gonna fuck up. But with his non-apology, and then people, I read an article, and maybe I'll read it on Sunday show, that said basically Saturday Night Live wanted him to court the kind of like conservative viewers that have been like shitting on Saturday Night Live since 2016.
Yeah, they're not coming back,
of course, but also more importantly the fact that y'all wanted to do that. Now I'm like, oh, y'all did know he was a piece of shit. You know, it's kind of that when Rush Limbaugh was working for ESPN, you're like, you guys know who Rush is. So now I'm looking at you like, why do you need him work there? You know, Brooklyn Shoebay says, I have complicated feelings regarding Felicity Huffman. As a mother, I would do what is in my power to make sure my children got the best education or medical care or best whatever to make sure they have a great head start. On the other hand, Felicity's children already have a leg up. There's no equity in access to the best things. I've been doing research and I discovered there's a big difference between equitable and equal. I also believe that jail/prison in most cases don't teach anything except how to be a better criminal, and they don't rehabilitate. What lesson is Felicity learning? Are people going to see this case and think, ooh, I'm not going to bribe people to do to doctor my children's SAT test? I mean, some of them might. I'm sorry. On a side note, I don't like academic aptitude tests. They don't really prove a person's intelligence or ability to pass class. Agreed. I did fucking horrible on the SATs at 820, but I got a partial scholarship to go to PWI for both undergrad and graduate school. Well, see, it's people like you that Felicity out here trying to get out the paint. She like, my baby did too much ice hockey. Go ahead and go ahead put that on table hockey. She was number one. There were bumps along the way, but I graduated on the honors list. So I could write a whole book on the inequitability in the education system. I agree with you though about the standardized test. They're not really a good measure of intelligence. They're a good measure if you can take tests or not. And right. I say that as a person that aced most of my standardized tests.
And they're very biased. And if you're somebody like me who literally don't test well, like I know I don't test well, they're not designed for you. And so they go, well, you did bad. You must be a dumbass. You go, the fuck you mean I'm a dumbass just because I didn't pass your standardized test?
Yeah. So I think that's a big thing for folks is, you know, oh, this motherfucker got this on the SAT. They must be smart. And I'm like, I don't know. You could be stupid and do good on tests. You can be smart and do bad on them.
Right.
So. The poll for the episode was, will Felicity Huffman serve all 14 days in prison?
No.
Wow. Okay. Well, you're not in the minority, Karen. 80% of the people who took the poll said no, she will not serve all 14 days.
Mm-mm.
20% said yes. I mean, it's fair time.
Maybe a smooth week. I don't know.
Kim Doc says, yo, I can't with the antebellum civil rights Freeman Bureau Twitter segment. MLK would have been the Joe Budden T.I. his era. Expeditiously, pics with him and the white Nubian queens would just surface, and you know the rumor mill would be buzzing around Malcolm. My God, I'm dead. Y'all are the best. This may be a sore spot for folks. I'm Jamaican, so I know it is, LOL. Bar Marley with Twitter would be interesting as well. He had a whole wife and family, and the newspaper celebrated him dating Miss Jamaica like they didn't exist. That's a good point. Alicia says, Rod, I love your white woman victim voice. It takes me out every time. I was at work trying to laugh silently, looking crazy. Thank you, Alicia. Shady Dane says, she might not serve all of her time, but I'm hoping that she at least gets a good old-fashioned ass whooping in the style of the HBO show Oz. Man, I wonder if they gonna even have her in the kind of prison where people delivering ass with us. You know?
Mm-mm.
I got a feeling she ain't showing up at Oz, mm-mm. Y'all.
You want me to tell you who gonna whoop her ass? That sun, she gonna get a sunburn. That's about the most ass whooping she gonna get from that sun touching her.
Yeah, I don't think they would put her in a facility with some, the kind of people that's been waiting on her.
She gonna have access to cable, internet, cell phones. What are we talking about here?
To be frank, man, I don't even find the want to put hands on her crowd to be the kind of niggas that put hands on people. Like, it's a bunch of Twitter people talking about how mad they are about it, you know. So I don't
gonna be in there with people. She gonna fuck around and be one of them people they gonna gossip about her is going around town. Y'all hear she coming? Y'all hear she coming?
Right.
They'll be like, we heard what you did. I'd have did that for my kid too.
Circus Delay was the last episode of the week. Let's see, we got like four or five comments. I think one of them's a duplicate. Felix says, I'm really scared about these drug shortages happening over here in the UK. If the folks in charge fuck around and we do a no deal Brexit, it might be a nightmare scenario when it comes to stocks. I hope it doesn't come to that, but man, it's hard to stay positive when Parliament can't currently hold the folks in power accountable with this whole prorogation situation. I don't know anything about that. On the Dakota Fanning story, it finally made me mute some of these blurred news folks on Twitter. I completely understand what they are upset about. I do. Maybe it's just because I'm outside the U.S., but y'all, there's movies and shows about and from Africa, about Africa, starring black people that folks can watch.
Mm-hmm.
It may take a little more time seeking out, but I'll be damned if I get mad at the one Hollywood movie about Africa starring a white person when there's plenty of stuff to watch. You don't have to rely on Hollywood for this content, but I get being annoyed the one Hollywood produced is starring Dakota Fanning and is based on a book that also did the same annoying thing, but maybe y'all can give me a little more context. I don't want to be dismissive, but it did not seem like that big an issue to me. It is because it's about an Ethiopian Muslim specifically and it's starring a white woman. That's the issue. Felix, I don't know why these niggas be mad. What? No. They mad because they gotta be mad. Shadow and that can't be letting some of this shit slide. Like, that's their job, is to be like,
job, to be mad.
Hey y'all, look what these white folks doing. Like, that's kind of what they do. That's why they get retweets, why people engage with them. You know, I think the best thing you can do if you find it to be annoying is, you know, kind of mute, take a break. Cause, you know, I do like their articles. The reason I follow them is cause I like when they celebrate black people getting jobs and getting projects greenlit, but you know, it's hard with Twitter because every person is somebody's least fave, somebody's problematic.
Yes, they are.
So it doesn't matter, like, anyone gets celebrated. Tyler Perry has a new deal. The comments gonna also be shady. Like, it's catch 22, man. But yeah, they have to be mad, so they're not gonna be like, this is not a big deal. They're gonna be like, it's all a big deal. Michelle says, Lizzo is selling vodka now. I feel like she is the it girl for the 2020s. I'm not mad at all.
Mm-mm.
Doug B says, that story about the white nonsense at the water park was wild. 40 person brawl, park shut down, one dude had to be brought back from the dead, and nobody got arrested or went to jail.
Mm-mm.
If that had been some black people thinking about that being that wild, we'd have marches, we having marches and more than one shot by the police. Mm-hmm. I guess white privilege is a hell of a drug.
It is, baby.
Ain't it though? Okay, and then Anonymous says, I agree with Karen that the percentage of girls whose first experience with sexual assault is probably higher. I thought I was super educated about what sexual assault entailed when I started college. I had many other friends who had been assaulted in high school and in college, so I thought I knew for sure what it was. But I was in a really fucked up relationship with a girlfriend in college. I was emotionally it was emotionally abusive and just not a great sitch for either of us. She was a super anxious person and had some other mental health issues that she struggled with. There were several times where she would start sex and I didn't want to do it or wasn't interested in it, and she would whine or cry or complain that I didn't love her or that I was rude or a bitch because I worked her up on purpose and then tried to stop. Or she would tell me that not following through would fuck her with her mental health. She would cry or whine at me until I eventually gave in because I felt guilty or terrible or responsible for making sure she felt good. I hated
it. Abuse.
I hated it all the time, and I would always try to find an excuse to leave as soon as it was over or to cut it short. Anything to get out of there, but I never considered that wasn't just a normal sexual experience.
Mm-mm.
It wasn't until 5 years later, I've been out of that situation for a couple of years. A friend of mine was telling me about her boyfriend doing something similar. When she explained it to me in the context of a hetero relationship, I immediately told her that it was not okay, and that because I do think gender in a lot of these cases. So one of the reasons I understand men are a problem, blah, blah, blah. I get it. But I'm also trying to discuss these things in terms of power dynamics more.
It's more power.
Than gender dynamics, because mm-hmm. same sex relationships can have sexual assault.
Yes, they can.
Same sex people can sexually assault someone, you know, without a relationship.
Mm-hmm.
You know, same thing with family members, people in power, you know, we're talking about priests and stuff. People kind of categorize those things in a different place, and I'm like, but it's all sexual abuse.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's the reason that when we talk about, you know, a teacher who was having sex with a male student, people will say it's not rape if it's a woman.
Yes, they will. The fuck it ain't.
But if it's a man, we never have that discussion. Like, we go, oh, boys want to all have sex with a woman, but mm-hmm. if it was some man, like a basketball coach or something doing it, we go, oh, that guy's a creep, he's terrible, put him in jail, he raped those boys. It's like, and so, you know, on our show, we try not to get into that part of it, but I never want to divorce the idea that still most of the people doing sexual assault are men. So I don't want to like act like that's not a thing, but I just think it's important to talk about these things beyond just man versus woman, because that's where a lot of people get stuck, and that's not inclusive of everybody.
Correct. And not to get off topic, in both of those situations, like, you know, a male coach, female student, male coach, nobody ever really talks about the mental, how mentally it fucks the victims up, male or female. And with male, they even just flat ignore, at least with a female in that situation, they don't really give a fuck, but at least they'll try to be like, you know, it's fucked up. But with boys, like you said, they act like it's okay, like that boy cannot be fucked up for the rest of his life because of that first sexual experience.
Yeah, it's just patriarchy, man. So yeah, when she explained it, I immediately told her that it was not okay, that she shouldn't be coerced into having sex. She really didn't feel like it, that this wasn't an okay experience. I instantly knew that it wasn't exactly okay when a man did it, that to a woman. It made me think back to all those times that I felt I had to escape from that pressure with my girlfriend, and it finally clicked that those same moments with her were not okay either. I think because I was in the same sex relationship, it didn't seem as cut and dry, that what was happening was coercion, and it wasn't a healthy sexual interaction. Mm-hmm. Yeah, by the way, same thing happens with domestic violence too.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Like sometimes police will come out and be like, but y'all the same gender, so no one's going to jail. we can't say who's abusive. It was only in their intervening years that I learned more about the different types of sexual assault and coercion, and more importantly about healthy relationships, and lots of therapy, that I was able to identify that it was fucked up. I always felt horrible about it at the time, but time and therapy really helped me understand why I always felt so uncomfortable with that what happened. I think there are probably a lot of women who are like me who have these situations that don't really, that don't seem to fit into the exact molds of what we're taught about sexual assault and all the gray area around it, so we don't consider our experiences to fit the mold. So we just chalk it up to something weird or fucked up until something connects later on that makes us question things. It's not fun to think about, so I definitely understand why other people would just try to ignore it or dismiss it completely. I definitely think the number is higher than what is reported. I think we know it's definitely higher. I don't know how much higher, but it's definitely higher, because all sexual assault reports are always lower than the truth, you know, whether people won't accept it themselves or whether they're hiding a secret from someone.
Underreported.
Yeah, it's always underreported, yeah. But what I was going to say, though, is we're also learning more about the definitions, because societally, the idea of pursuing a woman, and I mean, I guess this, you know, in a lot of these, which just to talk about either male woman or women or whatever, people pursuing a woman, it's been a lot of like, they say no, but they don't really mean it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, not every no is a no, you know, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I do understand what people are trying to say with the not every no is a no. I take it that there's some people that say no playfully or joking or something like that, but I just think when we're talking about sex and sexual assault, there just can't really be room for that. And it's unfortunate, because the reason there can't be room for it is that while, you know, let's say you and your husband are fooling around and you're like, no, stop, we can't do it right now, ha ha ha, and it's a joke, that's a completely different situation. I can see how between two consenting adults, y'all might have some type of shit where both of y'all have that sexual experience and feel like, no, that's completely just a thing we do that's healthy and normal and we're fine, cool. There's another person out there who says, well, if that's okay, no stop, get off me, and still, that's the same to me. They don't really mean no. They say no, they don't mean no. That all women say no, you know, they're supposed to say no, like, there's, so you kind of can't have the other one because you can't have this one. And I think that's the part that gets lost. I'm not trying to say everyone who's ever been in that situation has to categorize it as sexual assault or whatever. That's really your business. I can't determine something for you.
Right.
And I don't know you. And I don't know how you get down, you know? But this whole thing of like it's not a real no type of thing has gotten a lot of people sexually assaulted.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I know better than you what you're telling me with your mouth and your actions, or women that get scared, or people that get scared when they're under attack or being sexually coerced or assaulted, and then people go, well, you didn't say no, you know, like, you didn't like scratch him in the face, so I mean, how can we say that it was sexual assault? It's like, well, maybe my fight or flight kicked in. Maybe I froze.
Right.
A lot of stuff can happen. So communication would be the key here. And it sounds like a lot of cases we don't have healthy communication, or people really just take advantage of that gray area in communication.
Yes, they do.
You know, and that's why I think it's important to have, like, to reframe sex. Because if you reframe the entire discussion of what sex is about, what healthy sex is, what communication is about, what consent is about, if you reframe that discussion, then you don't have the, I thought it was okay excuse.
Correct. And then also, if you reframe people's behavior, you got to change. If people don't want to change their behavior, there's a lot of people that rape that don't consider themselves rapists. Like, a lot of people, I you know, dudes talk to dudes all the time, I just took that pussy, dog. What do you mean you just took it? Like come on now, like that shit sounds rapey.
And like, even when you say Even if it, like, cause I mean, I've been around men. I've never had a conversation where someone was just like, I was taking the pussy or something like that. Like, that's not a thing that people would, like, openly tell folks, cause, like, they would what they do is they just lie and couch it in, like I said, the gray area.
Okay. Okay.
You know, they don't, no one wants to, cause that's the thing. We do have a shame on rapists. but somebody is raping people.
The yes, numbers, they are.
The numbers say people are being sexually assaulted.
But nobody know the rapist. Come right. on.
So no, you can't expect a rapist to walk up to you and be like, ha ha, high five, I'll be raping people. Nah, but they are talking about it. And they're just talking about it in different contexts. Like, but there, it's happening. So yeah, this is why I think communication is so important, you know. And if you're a quote unquote good guy, you know, in the quotes, but if you're one of these people that aren't intending to hurt someone, why are you frowning on communication? People say stuff like communication, well, that's not sexy, so now I gotta stop. First of all, I've seen you niggas. You're not James Bond. You're not just wooing women off their fucking feet. That's not what's happening. So yes, communication can be sexy. To know, like, I do care about your approval. I do want to please you. I do want to your involvement in this sexual thing, not just me being like, oh, let me pound you to smithereens and you know, not that there's anything wrong with that, with pound, but you know what I mean, with this mm-hmm. idea of like, yes. you're not even here.
I want both people to be present.
Yeah, like what there's that is sexy to be have people involved. So I. Like when people say that, I'm always like, what fucking porn did you watch to make you think that was normal? Those are paid actors, y'all.
Yes, they are.
That ain't real. Like the way that they, you know, do the shit on like Insecure or whatever TV show you're watching, it just don't always happen like that.
Right. And then the women that have had life experience, that know their body and know themselves and tell you no and me no and be like, fuck you, get your clothes and get the fuck out. They're bitches. You know, yeah, you don't want to yeah. deal with the women that are like, no, I know where the situation you want to leave and I feel uncomfortable. You got to go.
Right. Or you go, oh, well, why? But you don't trust me? What? I mean, you think something was going to happen? I mean, damn. Well, you think I'm a rapist or something? It's like, well, after I get raped, it's a little too late.
Come on.
To have that conversation. So I got to play it safe. Get the fuck out. Did Lizzo go too far with the Postmates driver? Yes, that was unreasonable. No. I mean, yes, but it was understandable. Or no, what she did was fine.
It's almost a case 22 there. I guess it was reasonable. Like, because I don't want to erase her of her humanity. Mm. So I'm gonna go yes.
So you say yes, she did go too far. That was unreasonable.
I mean,
or yes, but it was understandable.
That's the group I followed.
Okay, 66% of people agree with you. That's the highest group. 17% say no. What she did was fine. y'all love some Lizzo, huh? And 17% say yes, that was unreasonable. I think I'm in a group with Karen. I think it was understandable, but I do think posting that woman's picture and stuff was way too far, especially if you don't know for a fact that that's what happened. She stole your food. Like, that's a hell of an accusation. Dave from Toronto says, love that you play Charles Bradley, also known as Screaming Eagle of Soul, for White People News. Dude is an amazing artist. And Blue Wave Rider says, you and Roland Martin said the same thing about the Revolt Summit. Candace Owens is just another minstrel cooning for a check. I hope they registered all those niggas to vote. Man, if you sit in that room believing those people on the stage, I don't know if your ass, you gonna need to find some other sources of education before you get out there and start voting, cause that shit was whack. So, alright, we almost at the break, so let me pause this real quick. Okay. All right, let's get into the voicemail line. 704-557-0186 is the voicemail line. Leave your voicemails, make sure they're 2 minutes or less or you will get cut off. 704-557-0186.
Hello, Rod, Karen, this is Emil. Second time I'm ever calling in, leaving a voicemail. I had to call in after that song he played, Changes, the black version of the white song. I'm really loving those Negro versions. it reminds me of, I don't know if you've been listening to that podcast, 16 and Episode 3.
Yes.
I got into the history of American popular entertainment and how it all stems from slavery. And
it got cut off a little bit, but he said the 1619 podcast, another one I'm listening to now. I love that podcast. Episode 3 talks about music and the history of slavery. So back to this
black music. Anyway, that song, that rendition of Changes, tore out my soul and threw it against the wall. It was beautiful. Keep it up. All right, thanks. Great for a great week of shows as usual. Bye.
Bye. I think that was our boy Emil. So that's what an actual Jamaican accent sounds like. Luke Cage had it all wrong. I see what you're so upset about now, buddy. Sorry about that. And yeah, as far as that song, I mean, it was so powerful. He just murdered that
singing shit from his soul.
Yeah, I like
that cry. You felt that pain.
He said, as they said on 1619, and I think it was one of the homies from Still Processing who was narrating that episode. He was like, he scraped the pan. They were like, it's scraping the pan is what you call it. Like when people do that guttural sound, that like you put that pain and that pathos in them songs, like that's a black thing, you know.
I know that's what they called it.
Yeah, well, that's how he described it.
Oh,
like
okay.
When you're cooking something and you want to get all the seasoning, the flavor, you scrape the bottom of that pan.
Yeah, you do.
Because that's where all that flavor is.
Yeah, particularly when you're making gravies.
Yeah, so I loved it. I love that description and I love that podcast. It's a really good show. All right, let's see. We had we had emails. The black guy who tips at gmail.com is where our emails are at. And we got to, okay, that's a email I say for reviews. We got that. Miss CT wrote in, Ballsy Sports Spoiled Movie Review. So since this was neither to Ballsy Sports or Spoiled Movie Review directly, I just didn't know where to put it, so I'm just going to respond to it on the feedback show.
Cool.
So while y'all were on break, I went to 2015 to listen to an episode of The Pregame.
You went way back, baby.
During this episode, Rod and Justin were talking about the movie Room, starring Brie Larson. Mind you, this was 2 weeks ago, and the only movies I'd seen Brie Larson in was Captain Marvel and Endgame. So I decided to sit down and watch the movie. Then I listened to the spoiled movie review. Baby! When I tell you I was stressed, I was really over here with a small panic attack. We're having a small panic attack worrying about whether or not Jack and Joy would make it out the room. Come on, that's a good ass movie, y'all. I know Chris swears by Short Term 12, but The Room, man, or Room, I think it's just called Room. I know it's an old movie, so I don't want to go through too much detail, but it was really a great movie. Brie Larson absolutely did her thing and deserves that Oscar she got, but that little boy was acting. Just an excellent movie and excellent spoiled movie review to match. You and Justin really hone in on the details, but when Rod jokingly started off the review with "wasn't enough rape," I laughed out loud. Y'all crazy. Yeah, it was a, you had to listen to the review. It was sarcastically said. Rod, Karen, and Justin, y'all are a masterpiece. Obviously, I love Rod and Karen because there's no black guy tips without them, but Justin's contributions to the premium feed alone is worth the price of entry. Yeah, man. I mean, Justin is, you know, when we do live shows and stuff like that, you know, I always try to make sure Justin's involved because I feel like Justin's done a lot for the show. Mm-hmm. And
he's a part of the show.
I've tried to find a way to like compensate him.
He always say no.
Like he wouldn't even, for a long time, he wouldn't even let me pay for like a meal. I'm like, man, let's go out to eat, man. It's on me. Nah, man, you ain't got to do that. I'm like, and we both are that way. I know that that's our thing, but you know, we don't ever want to put anyone out of their way, but I'm like, I just want people to show love and appreciation. And then when we do live events, he's always so pleasantly surprised at how much y'all fuck with him and love
right.
him.
He's like, y'all invite me? I was like, why not?
Cause like a year ago yesterday was our live show that we did in Charlotte. And I saw all the pictures from it and stuff. And you know, I see that last final shot that people have of us kissing on stage to end the episode. Mm-hmm. And Justin's right there trying to talk through it on the microphone. And I'm like, that's perfect. That's it. That's the dynamic. So yeah, we love Justin. Thanks so much for all the entertainment you all offer. And I can't wait to hear the next episode or whatever y'all cooking up. LOL. Very respectfully, CT.
Thank you.
Let's see. Hashtag free Felicity Huffman. This is from my girl Rebecca, who says, good morning, Rod and Karen. As usual, you folks are on point this morning with your politics. I'm going to keep this short and sweet because politics is the disease nobody wants to talk about. Ain't it? As soon as you said politics, I was like, oh, God, no. Even though we talked about it, right? The GOP are not messing around. They know their power is, hold on, for some reason this thing cut it off, is waning. and they are pulling out all the stops. Mm-hmm. They are not done, and it will get worse before it gets better.
Come on now.
Mm-hmm. Sleep on it if y'all want to.
Pay attention.
As I was listening to you this morning, I was struck by a tweet thread that I had seen an NC senator outright gerrymander in front of God and everybody and thought nothing of it. After this thread went viral, this senator announced that he's retiring. But how many more are in broad daylight blatantly taking away our right to vote because they don't want to lose power? The answer, all of them. Yeah, I saw that thread before we went on the air. Like, I saw it that morning. And I was just like, dog, do y'all understand how vigilant we have to be with voting and monitoring these fucking politicians? Like, you can't just check out on some, you know, it's all the same or it ain't gonna get us free anyway. It can make things worse. And it has made things worse. And if we're being fair and honest, it has made things better at times too. But you gotta hold feet to fire and be vigilant. You can't push and then relax. Because every time we relax, evil is right fucking there to take everything back. All the time. You know, I know people like to say bombastic things. And I think 2016 is the ultimate culmination of social media and our own, like, being the center of everything in our universes. And then the greater good of politicians coming to a head where it's like you can't even hold accountable a politician because you decided if they're not perfect, fuck them. And if that's the case, then you have no fucking agenda.
Mm-mm.
If you're not at the table, you're on the menu. So that's what happened in 2016. And, you know, I just want to keep reminding people, yo, it's not a game. It's not over. You know, we're not racking up wins right now. 2018, you had a lot of people who felt very bad about 2016 coming out and giving you the quote unquote blue wave. There were elections in 2017. There were elections this year in 2019.
Mm-hmm.
And they're coming up some more in November. Hey man, stay on it. Numbers are down. Some of these pivotal, like off cycle, like Republican versus Democrat elections going on right now. That's what people are using to measure enthusiasm and for 2020. And so when Dan McCready loses in North Carolina, my state, because not enough Democrats turned out for him, after all this year of knowing this is coming and getting hype about it, that's not good.
No, it is not.
Donald Trump comes down and does a fucking, you know, one of his rallies and the Republican wins. Hey, man, I hope people are paying attention. All hands on deck. You know, we can't just be mad because Republicans do fucked up shit. What about your role in it too? You
know? That's the thing. Don't nobody want to do shit. They want to complain.
Yeah. Like, oh, the Republicans, they had a vote on 9/11. Okay, but what are you doing to keep those Republicans from being there next time?
Right.
All right. Tanika writes in, Sandwich Police. Rod and Karen, I've been listening for about 2 years now, and I listen to countless sword ratcheting segments, so I'm not sure why when you mentioned the double-edged sword that I realized my husband owns a lot of swords. He used to be a karate instructor and owns mostly katanas, but also a bastard sword, double-edged, rapier, and dirk, which is a type of dagger. Before we got married, we agreed we wouldn't have guns in our house and we would use the swords for protection. They are pretty much located in various rooms around the house. I didn't think anything of it, but now I'm going to need to invest in a storage chest to keep them safely locked away.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Because you don't know. I mean, look, hopefully your husband is a great guy, but these swords, man, niggas be going crazy. I'm reading a book right now about a girl that got a hold of a sword and it's looking a little dicey now, okay? Like she might be losing her mind. I don't know what's happening. Luckily, the only time my husband has had to use the book is called The Sword, by the way, so don't hit me on Twitter about it. It's a graphic novel, the sword, and I'm on volume 4. The only time my husband has had to use a weapon was when a bat got into the house and he scared it off with a lightsaber. Who knew that bats don't like the sound of that lightsabers make? I didn't. Anyway, sorry for the long email. Thanks for you opening my eyes to the perils of sword. P.S. Thank you for getting me through the workday and just life in general. Tanny from Iowa, reluctant sword owner. Girl, get them swords out the house.
Protect yourself.
It's not worth it. Shayna writes in, hi Rod and Karen, thanks for taking the time to read this email. I know it's difficult to do anything 5 times a week, let alone podcast and critically think. I wanted to ask if you have an opinion or at least get your perspective on a video I have attached. I'm bringing this to you completely unbiased as to not subconsciously pollute anything on your mind about it, but I will say this. I know this is something that the people of the diaspora struggle with. And yeah, it's a link to Killer Mike and Candace Owens and them, and I can't, Shayna. I no disrespect to you, mm-hmm. Shayna, at all, mm-hmm. but I find T.I., Killer Mike, and Candace Owens to be three people that I do not want to see what they have to say about politics at this point.
At all.
So, no, you know, like I said, yeah, if y'all got something from that,
yeah,
cool, but I just feel like there's a bunch of people saying nothing, being bombastic and shitting on black people in different ways. Settling ain't shit. It's from Laura, who says, hi Rod and Karen. Just off my 10-mile bike ride home from work, when I was listening to the segment about couples having to basically settle down for partners who may or may not be economically attractive to them, and it really just put so much into perspective for me. So much so I had to sit down in the middle of a field and send you an email. Wow. Here in Ireland, we have a very similar situation with the housing crisis, and having moved back last year after living in Florida for 15 to 20 years with the opportunity I had, unfortunately, with my mom passing away and my sister and I inheriting her family home, I had to move into a house. In the past, sorry to hear that.
Mm-hmm.
In the past, I've had to deal with a lot of difficulties between my dad, I guess on to me, who, LOL, I didn't know my mom had a backup account till she passed. I don't know, my dad, something on to me, I don't know, passing money on,
probably. So
okay, guilt tripping me to be his provider, and also being in a relationship with a man out here who was intimidated that I would not only earn more than him, but I also had a place of my own to call home. Between those two things, I was really affected and started talking with both my female family members and my therapist, and essentially they all said the same thing, that people of my mom's generation and those before her were expected to be there only to support their men.
Mm-hmm.
And it was the other way around. It was like a glitch in the matrix. Oh, if it was the other way around, right?
Mm-hmm.
Which is so funny, right? Because we are taught our whole lives, men support women, they make the money, the woman does it. But we don't, that's because we don't value what women do.
Yeah, that emotional support is not considered quote-unquote real support.
I'm not just talking about emotional support, I'm talking about actual like labor,
correct,
stuff that we charge people for, money.
Right that, right, because if y'all realize, that's why women labor quote-unquote, they don't want to pay you for, because it's considered, yeah, fucking woman's work.
Cooking,
cleaning, nursing,
waitressing, a bunch of shit like that that women do, and we just expect you to be able to do it and to do it. That's part of being a woman.
Yeah, men get into the field, they're like, the fuck is this?
Even though my mom, she keeps putting ma'am, M-A-M, so I guess that's like how they say it over there. Okay. Even though my ma'am instilled in me and my sister from the time we handle money that no matter what, we have our own accounts, I still have family members that say, savings, what do you need those for? Send that back to your dad. And it was kind of the same when I was dating too. You can't win. It was an absolute relief though to hear you guys talk about it. I love you guys and your show so much. Absolute highlight of my commute when I'm not trying to cuss out these dumbass drivers. Yeah, I feel like drivers and bikers got beef, man.
Mm-hmm.
Like, nobody on a car likes a motherfucker on a bike. Nobody on bikes like a motherfucker in a car. Sad.
And you know what? And I think, I'm pretty sure it's everywhere, but here in the States, a lot of people tell you it's real bad. In other countries, they're very understanding to bikers. Here, we just get fucking, it don't bother me, but
well, she's
just,
in Ireland.
Okay, we just get fucking angry, like,
ugh. Yeah, she in Ireland. Sound like she be going at it with them. I have a couple of episodes to catch up on, and I'm gonna going on vacation tomorrow to Thailand. So I'm sorted for the flights. Can't wait. All my love from Ireland, Laura. Thank you. And I enjoy your flights to Thailand. Mm-hmm. And see, because you saved up that money, you get to go do something nice for yourself.
Come on.
You know, how's that gonna help your dad spending all your Thailand money? Tanika writes in again, Karen, you crack me up, have me laughing out loud at my desk. That word isn't a big deal to me, in my opinion. Oh, because the title of this episode is Bitch! Karen was cracking me up. I didn't even know what to say. I'm like, can I laugh at this? Am I wrong? Oh, God.
It was joke time.
I was so in my head. Mark says, hello, Rod and Karen. Changes. I love the show and I'm a frequent listener, but I am emailing because I believe you all were playing Charles Bradley's rendition of the Black Sabbath song Changes on your Circus Delay episode. I just wanted to let you know that Charles Bradley was a black man. Sadly, he passed in 2017. If you like this song, you should check out his album Changes. Thank you, Mark. Yeah, Mark, we know he's black. That's why I played it. I didn't know he was passed, though.
Oh, no, I didn't know he passed.
I played it because we playing black versions of white songs. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, we know he's a black man. Let's see what else he had. Oh, all right, that's a customer service thing, which I already fixed. Our RSS feed provider had went down for a little bit,
mm-hmm.
but I put in a help ticket and we got it right back up. Mary says, 9/10/19 episode catching up. And then she put a quote, giving away white babies like hotcakes, laughing emoji. Thank you for that. Glad I didn't miss this episode. Thank you, Mary. Glad you enjoyed it. Yeah, I try to at least once a week have an episode that's like way more silly than serious. And, you know, that's my goal. Hopefully people love those. Last week tonight, pumpkin spice latte, Rod. I tried the PSL because of your emphatic love for it. I didn't love, but it was pleasantly surprised. I was pleasantly surprised to find that it wasn't as bad as I thought it would be. This clip from Oliver's show reminded me of your pumpkin spice latte love. And it's a clip of the last week tonight called pumpkin spice latte. How long is this clip? Do I want to play this? I'll see if I can play it. You know how my computer be acting, y'all. It works when it want to. Oh, it's only 1:31. All right.
And now, this.
And now, it's that time of year again. Again.
Starbucks will offer its seasonal pumpkin spice latte starting this month on the 27th. That's 2 weeks from today. The earliest it has ever started.
Behold! Pumpkin spice latte has returned earlier than ever before!
Not that I'm complaining at all, because I admittedly am a PSL lover, but that's not even fall yet. August 27th, right? We're still in
21st
summer.
21st is next Wednesday.
On Wednesday we ride through the dumb gates to rain from these deep
milk. That, by the way, folks, is the earliest launch ever for the so-called PSL.
You know summer's over when they whip out the pumpkin latte.
It's over.
Yeah.
And give it up.
Give up! You can't the sweet oblivion of the spice!
I don't know. It's not even pumpkin. I don't know why it's called pumpkin spice because there's no pumpkin in it.
You fool! You're beyond your feeble human comprehension!
Starbucks saying they'll be introducing that treat, which for some reason, like McRibs, has a cult-like following.
It is like the McRib!
That's pretty good, man. That's pretty good. But yeah, I fucks with that.
I didn't know it's coming out earlier than ever before.
Cause the people want what they want, Karen.
Yeah, and they probably got tired of people showing up going, y'all got a point. They were like, fuck it, just put it out early.
And honestly, man, we can't be waiting on fucking we can't honestly wait on, fall to get here anymore, because with global warming.
Right.
It's never fall. It's like, I gotta wait till winter to get fall. Fuck that shit. I'm getting my PSLs right now, and I will sit on the sunny afternoon day and watch these evergreen leaves and my Uggs.
70-degree heat.
I'll get to that later. Okay, let me get to the next one. We got two more emails. Simone writes in, another thank you. Hey Rod and Karen, I couldn't sleep and I ended up coming across Sherman's Showcase about an hour ago. IFC has a marathon going right now, and I'm so glad you both mentioned it.
Yes, welcome to the club.
The Master Thief has to step over the lasers, and Stevie Wonder as a getaway driver was my intro to the show, and I'm sold. The media takeout sketch was funny too, but the ... rings true. Common and John Legend took me out. Yeah, the media takeout sketch to me might be the funniest one on the Yes, I love that one. Usually I thank you both for being insightful, inspiring, and that stuff is still true. But I'm up late or early on Feedback Saturday and wanted to thank you for sharing your love of sketch comedy. I'm recording Sherman's Showcase Marathon to help tie me over till a Black Lady Sketch Show comes back. Can't wait for season two. Yeah, and don't forget Southside is good too. It's not sketch, but it's such a good show. I hope everyone got their acts together, put 5 stars on it this week. They did. Y'all deserve. Love y'all for real. Simba.
Thank you.
And lastly is Alex, who says, I'm a Canadian. I'm surprised I haven't heard anything on your podcast yet about Justin Trudeau. I would be interested to hear your perspective in a future podcast. Well, let me tell you why we haven't heard anything yet. I think this shit really broke after our last episode of the week, which is on Tuesday.
It did.
And then more importantly, it goes into fucking with black people, which we don't do every episode. We do it when we feel like it. That being said, I don't have a problem talking about this shit with you for Justin Trudeau, so. Just fuck it with, just fuck it with those blacks. We're just fucking with black people. You hoser. That's right, guys. It's time to talk about the game that we all hate to play. It's
fucking with black people, eh?
It's fucking with black people. The game where you go all over the globe this time, eh? To discuss fucking with black people and how much we feel fucked with by reading these articles. Today's contest, well, it's only one article and it's all the boot. Prime Minister Justin Trudeau. All right, let's see what they're talking about. Yeah, so Justin Trudeau's blackface can't be wiped away. The blackface issue is so powerful because it reveals people's almost total failure to appreciate the ongoing violence of racism, writes Rod Earl. Pamela Jane Smith believes the revelations about the Canadian Prime Minister are politically motivated. Basically, man, this nigga got some pictures of him doing blackface came out, and he did a press conference about it on the plane where he was just like, I was very enthusiastic about blackface, and I think one of them's from like 2001 or something, like it ain't that old. This nigga was, he was intense. Like, his blackface, he, at one point, he had a blackface picture where he had on jeans.
Oh, so they got several of them?
Yeah, he got three times at least.
Oh.
He had jeans on, y'all. By the way, his blackface press conference, he had to come out and admit to the other blackface to get ahead of. He's like, I did it several times, and I was very enthusiastic about it, you know, and I was wrong, you know. And the one they showed with him in the jeans, though, y'all. I know I'm supposed to be mad.
I haven't.
But this nigga, I can bring it up. Okay. Hold on, I'll bring it up. Hold on. He did the blackface in the jeans. The jeans had rips on it, right? Mm-hmm. And underneath the rips of the jeans, you can see he did blackface on his legs.
Oh, that's hilarious!
He did blackface! I'm going all out!
Man, what? Is there an extra credit for blackface going around? I don't know.
Extra points?
Like, I mean, he went for the Robert Downey Jr.
Somebody dared him.
He
went Tropic Thunder on him.
He tried to get Robert Downey Jr. and Tropic Thunder on their ass. Oh my God. It was so bad.
Oh.
So this is the one that everyone first found. This okay. This is the one with him as Aladdin, supposedly, in blackface. Shout out to the Asian lady on up there too. And he's also touching somebody's bare, like, chest area, not their titties, but like above it. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, she ain't get no black paint on her chest.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's this one, which I don't know what this one is for. He was just doing blackface in that one. And where's the picture in the jeans? The one in the jeans, I think, was a video. But yeah, you could just see under the jeans, this the one in the jeans, but it's not the full picture. But you can see under the jeans, he had blackface under the jeans. Oh man. Sometimes we're just not the show to be the one to cover this, cause,
cause sometimes it's about them jokes.
So if you want to know what I honestly would score, the Justin Trudeau blackface controversy, I can only speak for me and Karen, or me, myself, and we can only speak for us, is what I mean to say. For me, man, I would give this shit like a 25, maybe. I mean, it's kind of the Ralph Northam thing to me. Like, I don't know why these motherfuckers, like, thank God he wasn't stupid enough to try to bust a moonwalk, but it's kind of kind of the same shit. I don't really have room to get outraged about this anymore. I don't behoove anyone who is outraged, but I know it's definitely politically motivated. That's why Ralph Northam and the, what was the rapist ass, a lieutenant governor, whatever it is. That's why that shit leaked at the same time, to try to get them both to resign so they would give up the Democratic seats, and then it was gonna be, you know, Republicans in Virginia next time, or underneath them, that would have been a Republican governor all of a sudden. I know it's politically motivated. I do understand.
Right, because the other way around, they don't give up shit.
The right thing to do is to resign, but I understand the big picture, and with both of them, well,
I can see him going,
I'll say Northam. I won't really say the other one, because I think he really should have resigned. But with Northam, I was like, yeah, don't resign. Fuck it. I don't care. You can only vote for one term anyway, so you can't even get reelected. So, yeah, we need a Democrat in that seat for the next however long you're in that seat. And hopefully a Democrat comes up behind you and gets that seat again. So that's the only thing I care about there. And as far as Justin Trudeau, I understand he's a very liberal, like, dude that is woke-ish or whatever in Canada. I'm sure he has some issues of his own that, because I don't live there, I don't know all the problems he has, and I'm sure he has some, because you're the figurehead of a country, and there's no country that's not problematic. So,
agreed.
You know, but I'd rather have him in office than some conservative person. So I hope he stays. And if he doesn't stay, I hope a Democrat wins, or, you know, their version of a Democrat wins the seat next time. So 25 for me. Karen?
I would give it, I'm going to give it a 50.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Blackface is one of those things. I know I'm supposed to be offended, but it's absurd. It's so absurd, I can't help but laugh. Like, it's so ridiculous. He didn't even look like Aladdin. He like Mr. Popo from Dragon Ball Z. If you guys watch Dragon Ball Z, he looked like he was doing cosplay of Mr. Popo.
Right.
There's nothing Aladdin about it. Shit, the nigga just got a tan and did Aladdin. It's just ridiculous. I can't help it, man. It's so stupid. All right, we got one last email. It says, sliding in the door before the last couple minutes of office hours. You did catch us. Hi, Karen and Rod. After hearing your rebuke from the last feedback, I felt like a college student who started out strong yet slacked off towards the middle of semester. Here's my visit to office hours to get myself back on track. Rod, I love your ad-libs last week on the game show songs. Please keep surprising us with them. This past week, when you two reported on the story about men feeling taken advantage of on Tinder, my first thought was, women go on dates to get free food. Maybe due to trigger warning, being molested by an older cousin when I was 7, I've always felt like I've always worked to maintain my agency in relation to men, so whenever I go on a date, I always make sure that I can afford the meal of whatever place we're meeting up at. I make sure that when I'm not feeling the guy to pay for half the bill, in my limited dating experience, I've only had two guys pay my half of the bill, and it's because I felt safe with them and really felt that they were nice people. In writing this out, possibly I worry that I owe the guy something if they pay for my meal. Right, that's sad, but that is how a lot of women are made to feel, which is also a result of patriarchy. Another layer,
a lot of times what you owe them, sex.
Right, that's why you don't want to pay, because it's like, nah, I owe this nigga sex, and or this he thinks I do, and I'm not going to have sex with him, so now I'm almost justifying his anger in that I paid for this meal and I ain't getting none, you know, that kind of old bullshit.
Right, that's why you like, look, if I can't afford to pay, we need to pick another restaurant.
Yeah, and if we're being fair, we were talking about gender dynamics at the time, but if we're being fair, I mean, my personal belief is whoever asks is should pay, you know. That doesn't always play out that way, because the patriarchy sometimes, I famously have a friend, one of my favorite stories is that he went out with a girl on a date that she asked him to go on, that he told her, I'm broke and I can't afford to go on this date. He's in college. She has a job. He doesn't. He's like, I can't afford to do this. So maybe another time. She's like, no, please. I'll take you out. It's your birthday. It's fine. And she worked at a radio station. She got an attitude about the fact that he couldn't pay. Like he told her, he communicated properly. At the end of the day, she got an attitude about, like, you really ain't got no money. And he was like, I told you I was broke.
I went bullshitting you.
This was your idea. Like, I was totally fine just not even going on this date. And so, it got bad from there. It got worse. You know, then it's like, well, you want to go to a movie? It's like, I don't have money for the movies. Fine. And then she paid for the movie ticket and was mad about that shit and all this.
We would have broke up. Fuck you, bitch.
They weren't together. It was just a date.
Oh.
So then, he, like, the next day or so, like, he's home chilling or in his room chilling and listening to the radio. Why was she on the radio talking about how men don't pay for days and this the worst date I ever been on? Exactly. And I was like, yeah, that was foul. So, you know, my personal belief is the person who asks is probably the person that should be willing to pay. Now, if I understand, I have a lot of women that are my friends that are like, yo, I always bring enough money to pay for my own shit and shit. In some cases, pay for both of us just in case, you know, and which I would obviously recommend. But if you're talking best case scenario in your head, when you're going on a date, most of the time you're optimistic, you're hoping that you have a good time. He'll be a gentleman. I mean, cishet, right? Mm-hmm. He'll be a gentleman and he will pay for what the fuck the date is, or at least offer to. I mean, just because of, you know, societal circumstances and patriarchy, that's kind of the way it's worked, is I'm asking you to enjoy your company and your time, and just the fact that you're here to do this, I'm gonna pay for this meal. That's, you know, maybe it's old school and chivalrous. Anyway, maybe you guys don't do that anymore, but my guess is a lot of people still do that. But niggas are fuckboys. So always be prepared. And I also understand the idea of being like, I don't let people pay for my food. Sometimes when we go out with our friends and stuff, there's been situations where you know, we'll pay for the meal or they'll pay for the meal or whatever, but I'm always prepared to pay for that meal, because mm-hmm. you know, I don't expect anyone to do that. They shouldn't have to, and you know, vice versa. Another layer on this is that I'm saving myself for marriage, so I guess I feel guilty having a guy pay for my meal, and then they find out that I won't be sleeping with them. They might feel upset having paid for my meal. Might have to explore this further in my next therapy session. Yeah, I don't want to touch. That's kind of, there could be a lot of reasons that you would have to get into. The why are you saving yourself for marriage? If that's a religious thing, saving yourself for marriage, there's some mental stuff around, like, mm-hmm. how much of saving yourself for marriage is about owing your husband that doesn't exist yet, your sex as your value. So that could be a lot of, there could be a lot of shit in there. And the thing I just want to say is, the reason I was like, yeah, if you want to get a free meal on a date, and that really applies for men and women, go do that shit. Like, I understand that shit, nigga. If I was, when I was a broke college student, now I was with Karen, but if Karen was like, yes, I got some money, you want to go out to eat, mm-hmm. abso-fucking-lutely, yeah, yes,
because it was,
treat me
right, because it was times where I, not trying to find it, I was literally the only one working. I was either yes. RA or either I worked at Shawnee, so I'd be like, you know what, I got, you know, some few right. extra cat dollars.
Those times when I was the one working the right. Wendy's and McDonald's on my, when I was working in the administration office, like, you know, but you know, we were together, so it's a little different. But the point being, like, if somebody was inviting you out on a, and the thing was, spend an hour with me and I'm gonna feed you, nigga, I have done worse, okay? I have gone to a whole church that I knew I was never coming back to, because I was like, fried chicken. So I mean, I'm not knocking any woman that feels that way. Like, if she's just like, look, I'll let a nigga take me out, he gonna spend some steak money on me, then yes. You know, and I think the problem is men feeling entitled, and that's really sounds like the whole gist of your hang up about this, is that you're so worried about how these men are gonna feel. But I say fuck them niggas.
Come on. If you same thing.
To me, now obviously it's not my safety and I'm not the woman, blah blah blah, I get it. And we are talking very cis heteronormative stuff. But listen, to me, if I hate the date, that's more reason for you to pay for this shit. You know what I'm saying? Like, nigga, you whack? Oh, glad this steak is on you then, cause, I definitely didn't want to spend time with a whack nigga tonight. I could have watched a fucking Scandal for this, you know? Anywho, love you too, and I hope you receive my 5-star review from Apple Podcasts this week. I pay low from writing or calling in this past couple weeks, cause I was getting worried that I was writing in too much. Be sure to know that I'm here listening to you and rooting for you even when I don't write in. Best, Catania. Yeah, man, this is cool. I didn't think you were writing in too much or whatever, but you know, well, to each their own, and we do appreciate the feedback, you know. And the last thing, I don't know if you guys know, but in 2 days it's gonna be my birthday. Last year I had the best birthday of all time, the best birthday party of all time, because you know,
we did the last show. Yeah, I want to talk about that last. Yeah. I want something to say something.
But this time, it's just keeping it low key. Now, we do have an Amazon wish list.
Mm-hmm.
And people go on there from time to time and get us things. And my girl Angie, aka Veggie Vixen, she never forgets. Not that I'm blaming the rest of y'all, but just, you know, she be looking out. So yeah, she said, enjoy this gift, Anzi, aka Anzi underscore D74. Oh, you changed your name from Veggie Vixen? Okay. And she got me some gifts. Let me see what we got here. Oh, my movie, Crazy Rich Asians.
Mm-hmm.
I fucks with it.
Me
okay.
Too.
I really did enjoy this movie though. I cried like a motherfucker when
I enjoyed that movie.
When she walked out and that water started filling up. It wasn't even the main wedding.
It was beautiful, wasn't it?
And then she got T Forte single steeps, the perfect measure for the perfect cup. 28 pre-portioned loose leaf teas. Now I will say it's my birthday, but Karen is the one that puts the tea stuff on the list. So this is really gonna go to Karen.
I bet I'm gonna drink the hell out of it.
But because
there's some pumpkin in there probably.
But because you did send it on my birthday, I will make sure to go in there and get some to take some from her. Because, you know, it's not
I got all types of tea in there.
It's my birthday and she has enough tea. But then you also hooked me up with the assorted coffees, because you know I got the Keurig up in there, and some of my favorite people, Cake Boss, Wolfgang Puck, Marley Coffee, Crazy Cups. So thank you so much, man. I appreciate it. Veggie Vic says that's not her, so it's Anzi then. Okay, my bad, Anzi, my bad. In that case, Veggie Vixen is now not on my favorite people list. You are now my bad about that. She has now been taken off of the list because, you know, I don't get down like that. So until I receive her gift, you now number one. So hey, you moved up in the ranks. Okay, I'll check the mail today, see where Angela stands at the end of the day. Okay, we move fast over here. We move fast at the Blackout Tips. Okay, you can be best friends today, gone tomorrow. Okay, so happy birthday indeed, Anzi. I'm sorry I was giving somebody else credit. Shout out to Angela for Veggie Vixen for being a stand up person in chat and being like, no, that's not me. So all right, thank you guys. And Karen, what were you gonna say?
Oh, I was gonna say we kind of talked about it. Yesterday was a year since we had the live show here in Charlotte, North Carolina, our first ever live show, and a year goes by fast, and I was seeing the pictures and things like that, and it brought back a lot of memories, and I'm just still thankful for that opportunity, and thankful for everybody that came down, and thank you for everybody that did, you know, spent money on traveling expenses, hotel expenses, that took time off work and all that stuff to make the event happen. I'm thankful everybody that bought tickets and wasn't able to make it, and the people that were allowed to come because people were just like, they donated tickets so that people could come. And I am not gonna lie, y'all, whenever time we crossed the Blumenthal Performing Arts Center, like just driving downtown, I almost want to bust out in tears, because I was like, it took y'all supporting and things for us to be able to even do that thing, and I am so happy, and I'm just so delighted that we were able to do that. We got more things coming, but I was just very excited and delighted, and I'm glad so many people had a good time and had very fond memories of that day.
And I hope y'all are still friends with all the people you went with, but if not, I hope you enjoyed that week that y'all were here, that those couple of days. I saw people stay the weekend, go to other events, go out to the club at night and all that stuff, and it really just reminded me of all the joy that people had coming together,
right?
And that's really what it's all about for us. And you know, I hope that people build some bridges, some relationships that last forever, and
same,
you know, if not, I hope they had a good time for that time. And you know, it really meant a lot to me, because I don't celebrate my birthday like that. I don't do birthday parties. I don't really go out. So to have a situation where people are coming into town and, you know, like for one night, you know, having a good time, and it's, you know, right around my 40th birthday and stuff, it was like, oh cool, this is how this feels. So you know, to see everybody and hug everybody and sign autographs.
Yeah, right, autographs. And we were signing shit, and shout out to Chris Lambert and Justin and stuff like that. That means a lot.
Our event planner, Jillian.
Yes.
We just had, it was just a very dope time and space to be in there. And, you know, like Karen said, we got some other plans and stuff that we're plotting on, coming up. So we had a
always plotting.
We had a lot of change this year with Karen, you know, changing jobs and stuff like that. But we always got stuff, guys. Always got ideas cooking. So yeah, that's it for today. We'll be back tomorrow. Don't forget Thrive Talks Thursday. The pizzeria is called 8.2.0 Pizzeria and Bar, September 26th, 6 to 8 p.m. We'll be talking about podcasting with Thrive Talks. Alright, we've gone long enough on your feedback. Thank you for all the 5-star reviews, and
thank you.
Until tomorrow, I love you.
I love you too. Mwah.